Hello, I'm George Takei, and I don't always drink urine, but when I do, I prefer Dos Linsets. You're listening to Pastor Linsets, the Movement Turd.
No, this is not the fucking Hal Turner Show. Nor is this the Peerless Good Manzer Show, Radio Free Nimtardation. We don't have retarded Manzer and Jew Boy and Wigger Faggots like the intern or the Reverend Boa Cocksucker. Nor is this the Finkel City Show. We don't have Judah Brown Manzers from Mentor and Rabbi Finkel City, the Joyzy Shitty Stick Killer, going ahead and reading some Wikipedia articles about Hitler and going ahead and practicing papist preterism. Nor is this the Rabbi Elier Show, where you have a Chicago Shepherding Jew Boy, formerly known as Jesus Stalin Cuss November Yappy Shit. No, this is the Movement Turd, and also known as the Dick Dick Show. And your host is Pastor Martin Luther Dierzynski Linsted. And if you want to call in, and if you dare, call in. Hail victory, folks.
Recorded live.
Greetings, ogling, wigger, man's ass clowns, across the fruit and nuts, Zog Plain. In the open air, coast, that house we call Zog Babylon, the third and the final. But this show, as always, is aimed at the lost and the found sheep of the house of Israel, ye chosen seed of Israel's race, ye who did hear Christ's call. Greetings. Tonight is the 3rd of March, 2013. It's episode, 164? And it's called Obvious Jews, Obvious Mamzers, Obvious Sogbots. So why are they still around? Now, let's see. It's been for the last 2 weeks. I've had to fight in court and elsewhere, my own thieving where your brother. So I'm pretty well left in many cases the bowel movement, you know, goings on to fend for itself here. Now, you got to understand this, the bowel movement will be with us as long as Zog exists here. Once Zog is finished off, pretty well the bowel movement's finished off too. Of course, judging by the way it acts, it's pretty well finished off as well here. Haven't had any contact with my brother, per se, since, when was it, Thursday? Went ahead, me and my sister contested him for the guardianship, and it was on the 28th, yeah. And today, my little puppy dog, he sort of broke free from his chain and chased old Pigok's kitty cat, and Pigok's bitch and, you know, baby Pigok were in their little Humvee. And I heard, you know, screaming and cussing from fat-ass hippo here, Crystal, and then a whining from my little poopy dog. So I went down there, and I think, you know, because he's limping and he's sore, I think that old Crystal went ahead and kicked him a couple times or so here. Well, I went ahead and asked the bitch if Pickard had been served, and she said she don't know. So I went ahead and took my poopy dog back up here. And pretty well, Roxy's niece here, you know, the Whigger one, the bitch had gone ahead and tore down my chicken house just before I got thrown in jail in 2005. It was in March 2005. Her half-Jew husband, you know, thought he'd go ahead and stay with her a while longer, and essentially it didn't work out. She ended up divorcing his ass and making him pay child support. But essentially, I tore down my chicken house. So that bitch moved out, and her brother, who's a lot nicer person, moved in. So I don't mind her brother. Her brother's a nice character, you know, is a nice guy. She's a total bitch. She's going to move to Carthage. I'm glad she's gone. You know, so in any case, that was what's going on. My little poopy dog is a little bit sore from the bitch probably kicking him, you know, a time or two. But, hey, you know, he's alive, and maybe he'll know better than chase kitty cats around where the bitch is. In any case, that's about it here. Andy, you know, Andy went ahead and gave me a link about this skank April Gade going in with, you know, Edgar Steele is nuts here. He shouldn't be writing 14,000 emails to his little wretched email honey. And the answer to that is maybe he is, maybe he isn't, but you know, if you're really serious about the bowel movement, you do not think out, you do not snitch out, you do not believe that those who are on your side are guilty of anything except moderation. You know, I don't believe Edgar Steele plotted to kill his wife. I don't believe that at all here, but on the other hand, I mean, shoot. Zog goes ahead and says whatever the hell it wants to. It's a war to the death against global Whiggers and traitor, race traitors and Jews and Mamzers. And by, you know, pretty well, by convention, nobody who essentially does whatever they have to do against race traitors or regime criminals is guilty of anything at all. And by definition here, the other side is guilty as hell, and you exterminate every single damn last to the very last man here. It's altogether a matter of side. It's not a matter of innocence or guilt at all. At all. When you're fighting a civil war, a civil and racial and religious war for your survival, anyone who's on the other side is a spawn of Satan, whether or not they biologically are like the Jews, or just a six-day beast of the field, or are a Whigger race traitor, in which case they're adopted spawn of Satan, and they're to be treated even worse than Jews are. You can't have divided loyalties coming into a civil war at all. You have to go ahead and deal with these creatures as they deserve. No questions asked, no mercy, no nothing. They are what they are. And let's understand that. Let's understand that. Moving along here. Anyway, this Saturday night, you know, I mean, folks, April Gade is just a self-serving Whigger skank who essentially acts like a big whore who cares for nothing else other than herself. She's just a witling. Just altogether a witling, altogether an idiot. You cannot trust her. You know what I mean? Except to do something stupid. She doesn't care for anybody other than herself here, so I'm a little bit annoyed at that here. On the other hand, Spurfront is just simply, you know, Don Black and David Duke, who are a bunch of crooks and liars and thieves, so I don't have much use for them either. So, what to do about creatures like that. And the answer is that you call them out as you see it, and you don't dick around. Okay? But moving along here, let's see. When was it? Saturday night, I was listening to Peerless Good Mamzer, and since we had a whole bunch of Nimbuster retards, Paul Dembski, Newskike, the Whanger, pretty well going on and making asses of themselves, both on my show and on Logan Hunter's show, I told Logan Hunter to expect a bunch of trolls and a bunch of trolling pretty well on the Newskike show. And especially Newskike was playing troll after troll after troll after troll for about 2 weeks or so. You know, the classic Jim Giles, chimp out of July 3rd, 2010 that they've cut out and they used against poor old Chuck of Waddy T.I. And, essentially you had troll after troll after troll, but about 3 hours and 10 minutes, it was around about 10 minutes after midnight my time, and, probably 8 o'clock Tel Aviv time here for Newskite, is probably 10 minutes after one where, Peerless Good Mamzer or Peter Goodman or Newskike or whatever, and all of a sudden, Von Bluvens, a.k.a. Michael Blevins, calls in. And folks, I've looked at that character, and I think the character is a Jew. I think the character is a Jew. And he was whining and kvetching and pissing and moaning all about how he was sorry what he had done to poor Jews here. And here's Newskike listening in, Dembski listening in, and what I seen and what I heard essentially is that here is a self-loathing Jew apologizing for being mean to other Jews, but he still wants to pretend to be a white man, still wants to pretend to be a Christian, still wants to pretend to be this, still wants to pretend to be that. And, they know to some degree what they are, who they are. And they have, they just have a fit. They just have a fit. Pretty well getting all annoyed here. But, they know what they are, and you end up having something like when they get washed up, you have the oy vey, I have been mean to my own kind, but on the other hand, they're not my own kind. I'm white. But I was mean to Jews. Now, that's not something that a real white man like myself will ever do here. Apologize to Jews. To me, they're the spawn of Satan. They're evil. And there's nothing to apologize. You know what I mean? So, let's see here. Okay, here. I'm looking at... By the way, we got a new listener, Crocodile Ralph, or Ralphus. He's a character I've met down in, I've not been to Australia, but he lives in Australia. I've sort of set him to chasing down the Obagender Bender. Okay, Umu Munu here. That is Joe Blow, the Jew character. I'll mute the character, but I won't. He's behaving himself, sort of. Any case here, let's see here. Whanger. Yeah, Whanger, Whanger was getting in. Folks, let's go on from old Mike Blevins here and the Jew crew here, acting like a bunch of assholes here. Let's go on to about Acts of Sally's. It's the second and latest podcast about noted Whigger skank April Gady. Now, the self-absorbed, I think the critter, the more I look at her, the more she seems to be a mamzerous. And what she, I don't know why the hell Harold Covington hired this bitch. If Covington is looking for executive talent, in the newsaxon.org. Folks, he's wasting his time here. Andy's probably about as efficient a right-hand man as I've ever seen here. And I pretty well told Covington as much. You know what I mean? But, for some reason, I guess he goes ahead and chooses a skank here. And she turns out to be what she is. She turns out self-centered. She turns out, for an hour and 10 minutes, I think about 10 minutes was April Gady. The rest was about herself, about how she has gone ahead and taken up all her NSM patches. She's covered up all her tattoos. She's sent her NSM stuff to old Daryl Lamont Jenkins of the One Primates Project. Now, folks, that's who she got surrounded herself. She got surrounded herself with, anti-hack goobu crew. Essentially, this nignog named Reginald something or another here. He's some sort of Indian nignog. And this character called Harlan here, who's pretending to be the turd burglar, some character, Harlan Markweiler. And who fought with Covington, about a decade or so ago? And let me see, the whanger. And the whanger is going on and on and on and on about how essentially whites will be a minority in this country and we ought to get used to it. If I want to listen to that shit, I'd go over to MSNBC and listen to that stupid shit. Why should I listen to it from the whanger? The whanger's own parents couldn't or didn't want to make it in Chinkland. I was looking about this, American chink who migrated to a white man's land and, made it rich here. And now she's going to design buildings for the new China or what have you, but you have all these buildings that are empty. Because now the white man doesn't have the money anymore to pay for all this chink-made garbage. It's sort of like this book called Mana about robotics here and how it can either be a bad thing or a wonderful thing. But in most cases here, the Uyghurs seem oblivious to going ahead and doing anything. But any case, where was I? Here she is. She's talking, about 10 minutes about April Gady and about an hour about herself. And essentially, she seems a self-absorbed mamseress whose children do come first. She has her children because her Uyghur or Anglo-Mestizo husband, ex-husband, decided not to be mean. She didn't really care about her kids. She ran away, and she lived in a snowbank, and she did this, and she did that. And I heard some crap about how April Gady had been mean to Axel Sally and a few other people, and how April Gady is pretty well despised in Kalispell, both by the Covington supporters and by Carl Garst, who's a Christian identity believer. Now, from what I gather, Carl Garst doesn't he really have anything against Covington people, although he doesn't really have anything particularly for them either. But he doesn't have much use for Corn Cob and April Gady. And they've been, telling all sorts of stories, and his story is that, hey, he don't trust Corn Cob. He don't trust April Gady. He don't trust April Gady's meerkat, husband, boyfriend, what have you. I mean, April Gady is just a self-serving skank, but she's a white skank. Whereas Corina Burt is a self-serving skank, but she's a non-white skank. And about a week or so ago, here's Corina Burt calling me a convicted child molester. Well, hey, she should or she ought to know better than that. But it doesn't really matter to her. You see, to these mamsers, essentially old enough to bleed, old enough to breed, and in many cases, they're being molested by their daddies and brothers and uncles and cousins and what have you. I mean, that's just the way these creatures are. They're just simply animals without very, you know, without much of anything in the way of self-control. I don't know if either you went ahead and seen this movie called The Cider House Rules with Michael Caine and Tobey Maguire and Charlize Theron. It has a bunch of liberal Whigger Maine people. And as they looked at it, essentially niggers impregnating their own daughters and thus having to go ahead and give an abortion to them or something like that here. I mean, when it comes down to it, if you're a cattle breeder, you have one bull, you have about, 10, 15, 20, 50 cows, and you go ahead and breed them to the bull, and half the time they end up having heifers or female calves, you have to end up doing something. Usually you end up getting rid of the bull, or you end up trading or selling the heifers here. Because if essentially you have too much inbreeding, the calf will be too big to pull. It'll be too big to bear, and the cow and the calf will die here. The calf will be, in many cases, sort of messed up. Well, folks, niggers and mamzers and anglo-mestizos and, regrettably, some wiggers are just like that here. They don't have much in the way of self-control or anything like that. So when they hear that one of their white enemies, like myself, he's a convicted child molester, and I've heard it from Alex Linder, and I've heard it from Jeremy Visser and the rest here. Folks, let's not go ahead and be surprised here. Moving on here. Here's old Mike the Kike Delaney. Essentially, he not only went ahead and stole the blog from this Zionist control factor Jew named Brandon Zander or something like that, and the little character looks like a Jew to me, but you have all this whining and pissing and moaning about Mike the Kike Delaney. And so he recently got a video with him, this nigger, named Alan Martinson, who went ahead and wrote it, who went ahead and produced and created a shitty video. And he said, it's fine with me. Fine with me. Okay. So Mike the Kike Delaney was working with the nigger, and the nigger's fine with that. That's fine. No big deal. That doesn't mean and he stole some Jew's intellectual property, such as it is. Is that anything to me? And the answer is hell no. But you end up having Truth Militia saying, we ain't going to go ahead and talk about that. Well, folks, why aren't they going to talk about that? And the answer is because they're Zogbots, because they're agent provocateurs. They're characters who showed up and paid $40 for 30 days on Blog Talk. That's what they did. That's exactly what they did. And so you shouldn't be surprised when they act according to their nature at all. They are what they are. So, moving along here, you end up having not only this Mike Delaney here, Finkelschini was bemoaning the fact that as an Ashkenazi Jew, fresh out of prison, working as a Zogbot, he had to, quote, make friends with myself and Eli James. And it only took a little while before these creatures, Fink was bemoaning that he couldn't trust poor Eli James. He was bemoaning the fact that he could not trust me, that I turned treacherous to him. I just mean to him here. So was Eli James. Poor Jew boy. He just doesn't understand it. Well, no, Fink, you don't understand it here. I mean, hell, you're just a Jew criminal. For a while, you and your mamsers were acting up in March of 2010. Mike the Kike Delaney, and Brian Rio took down PastorLizSaid.org webpage. Didn't have a problem doing so. Took it down. And your little character, Matt Twat Zogbot, was acting up. I was fighting with Visser. and Oba Gender Bender. And essentially, you didn't feel it would work for you to make a out-and-out break with me. So you went ahead and you lied. You went ahead and pulled your crap, and then you got mad because of what I said. You called it slander. Well, no, it wasn't slander, Fink. You are what you are. We should realize that. But anyway, he's whining about ELJ and he's whining about me. Oy vey! Now he's cast with old meerkat Mark Downey of No Devil. Well, that's where he belongs. I looked, and he has fewer and fewer and fewer people. Eli James has more, but the ones who follow Eli James are, quote, Cherokee Israelites. Well, you have Rebecca Mace, you end up having Isaiah 14, you have Elijah, whatever. You have all these characters who are, you know, admitted mamzers, non-whites. Folks, you look at what these people in the movement are, and you know what they are. You can go ahead and look at them. Mike Kike Delaney looks like what? Looks like he's the son of Curly Howard. He could be the Fourth Stooge. He has a round head. He has a Jew criminal's belief here that he gets to go ahead and beat down people. He's going ahead and he's making right with some nigger. Where does Mike Delaney, who has no job, get the money to offer all this free hosting and all this what? Sort of like pod blank casting like Corncob used to have. Where does he get that? Where does he get the ability to, you know, pretty well pay for all this streaming here? He ain't really creating anything. Where does he get the ability to do that? Think, with his belief in papist preterism, with his, these Canaanite Phoenicians were actually Israelites. Where does he get the money to do that here? Eli James, with, you know, all the running around he does? Truth Militia. That sort of nonsense. Carolyn Yeager, Yenta. She's running around with Sicilian Guido, who might be a Jew, who's married to a Jew wife, has been told as much, and here she is, Jews, Jews, Jews. Well, you know, Carolyn Yenta, why are you going to ask the Malvin Finkelschini? You look at these people. Eli James, Brian Rio, Bill Fink, Mike Delaney, and you look at who they're with, and you can tell that these are open mamzers. So why are they running around being held as, well, one of us when they're not? Now, I just went ahead. I mean, I'm not surprised what April Gady's been doing. You know, as far as I'm concerned, April Gady is just some two-bit old whore who has tried to go ahead and stay onto the movement, who is running her mouth for nothing. If you believe Edgar Steele is guilty, or if you believe Edgar Steele is crazy, and you wish to have any relevance in the movement, you better shut the fuck up. Because, you know, even whether you like Edgar Steele or not, you don't sell them out to Zog Babylon, and you don't give any credence to what they say. Now, me, I don't much care for bitch tits Bill White. Don't much care for the bastard at all. But still, he's being essentially railroaded. He's essentially being, you know, persecuted. He's essentially being given time after time after time over whatever the hell they can lap on to him. So whether or not you like him or not, you know, if he's on your side, whether you like him or not, you don't talk shit about him. You know what I mean? Now, I talk a lot of shit, but they're about people, you know, who ain't even people. Jews and mamzers and zogbots. I don't have anything good to say about them at all. So I don't have a problem, you know, because there's no such thing as unity, certainly in this bowel movement. And there shouldn't be. Essentially, anybody who builds something up will have something for Zog Babylon to tear down. This is not the time to create order, but rather to surf the chaos. That's what the time is. So anyway, I don't know if Logan's going to call in or not. We have, I think Crocodile Ralphus has been here as a guest. He figured out how to do it. I know some few people here. I'm thankful we don't have as many idiot Nimbuster retards. As Jaeger weighed in, essentially Jaeger supports Andre the Nigger. Andre the Nigger, she's done her... You look at this character. An obvious Jew and a nigger. An obvious Jew and a nigger. Pretend to be white nationalist. Total fascism. Well, you ought to go ahead and try to become Emperor Haile Selassie, Juju here of Upper... Inner, Outer, Easter, Mauritania, or whatever. Emperor for life or something. You look at these Jews and niggers. It's a joke. Carolyn Yenta, when it comes down to between Wiggerswell Wheeloff and Finkelschini, she will support Finkelschini. So I have no doubt she'll support Mike the Kike Delaney. No doubt at all. Folks, you look out the movement on the show, and essentially you can go ahead and see, even though there's fault lines, you can go ahead and see, usually, it's not really lists of friendship, it's simply, like my alliance with Harold Covington, Harold Covington is not Christian identity, I think he makes a point he's not Christian, but on the other hand, his plans don't interfere with Christian identity plans here, or what we are for. Although we don't worry about the future of the white race, we believe the Great Tribulation and Jesus Christ's return will save the white race. But it'll be rather grim looking. But essentially, Covington wants to, kill a bunch of Jews, kill a bunch of Mamzers, kill a bunch of Wiggers. And we're fine with that. So, in any case here, while we don't agree 100% of the time, we agree 85% of the time, and what we do disagree with essentially lays in the future. And we're sure we're right, and we're sure that Covington is wrong about some aspects in the future. So, essentially, there's nothing really to fight about. At all. You can move to the Northwest and be Christian identity. A lot of Christian identity have moved to the Northwest, in fact. So we don't have a problem with that. But any case here, without Jews, you guys don't have no porn to beat off to. In any case, folks, I'm going to take a break. Wickstrom, I guess his show is going to essentially end, and we'll probably end up having some more Nimbuster Tards come in, and I'll deal with it when I see it, when it happens. So in any case, let's see here. We'll go ahead and take a break. Maybe Logan will call in, and we'll be back. Hail victory. Yes, I admit we got a wigger problem. Wiggers always on my mind. The way they run to and fro, stupid ways you'll never find. Yes, I admit we got a wigger problem. Build a drop up to the top. The way they run to and fro, and they're always easy to drop. I'll wake up and ride away. If they wake up to mind, the way they run to and fro. Sugar waiters you'll never find. Yes, I admit we got a wigger problem. Wigger's always on my mind. The way they run to and fro. Sugar waiters you'll never find. Yes, I admit we got a wigger problem. Fill the trough up to the top. The way they run to and fro. And they're always eating slop. Wiggers keep remembering how good God used to be. Being taught long stone our freedom's memory. Yes, I admit we got a wigger problem. Wiggers always on my mind. The way they run to and fro. Took the wiggers you'll never find. Yes, I admit we got a wigger problem. Fill the drop up to the top. The way they run to and fro. And they're always eating drop. The way they run to and fro. And they're always eating slop.
Cutting on the roadside, cutting in the ditch. Big Dad cutting you black sound bitch. Daddy was a Klansman, a Southern Democrat. Long white sheets and funny looking hats. Singing songs, song of the South. Whooping niggas ass and burn his house. Gone, gone with the wind. Ain't no nigga talking back again.
Alrighty, folks, here. I ain't calling Roxy here. Let's see, I guess 14 was in, and looks like, well, maybe Frank Wigger was, okay, Frank Wigger's in here. We got the regular bunch without too many Nimbuster retards here, which I think is okay. How many Nimbuster retards do you really need when it comes down to it? The answer is, I don't think you need a lot of retards. You really don't. In any case, where was I? Let me see. Anyway, I called up Logan, and Logan will call Russ here, and we'll have somebody, you know, bye-bye, Pootie. Pootie, you found him some pussy, I guess, here, and he wants to jump in here while he can. In any case, Logan and Russ will call. I think it'll probably be Logan here about the next 3, 4, 5 minutes here. So we'll see what gives here. Anyway, I'm pretty well rested up here. Had a little bit of fight with Pickle's bitch Crystal, who essentially I think kicked poor old Poopy Dog. He was sort of yelping here. So probably, yeah. See, well, his little chain went ahead and got caught in the Hummer, and she was screaming about the little bastard, and you know that hurt. And essentially, she might, you know, she probably did kick him here because there's no bones broken or something like that, but he's sort of walking like he's all whacked up here. Not as bad as the time he, back in February of 2009, he got run over by a small car. I mean, I was scared he was going to die, but he was a healthy young puppy dog, and he still is a healthy dog, so he'll get over it. I don't think Poopy Dog will go ahead and go belly up here or nothing like that here, but in any case, old Piglet's bitch, she's a mean bitch here. And, You know, she's sort of like one of these critters who knows that she's not supposed to do certain things. She's supposed to act a certain way. But she, you know, sort of almost like she ain't quite human here. You know, I mean quite human. She's rather cold and mean here, and, you know, I mean, so I got a laugh here. This happened last year here. I go ahead and I hear, you know, old Pilkey's calling me on the phone. I hear, "You're talking to him? You're talking to him?" In dead air. And about 4 hours later here, around 2 o'clock in the afternoon, old Pilk calls me up and, you know, calls up to, you know, the home phone and tells Roxy, you know, tells me, "Okay, hold on." She only hits me once every 2 weeks. Hello.
Hey, it's Shane. What's up?
Oh, pretty well. I was just waiting for you to come in. I was talking about all these critters. I mean, does Eli James look like a Jew to you? Logan. Hello? I don't know. I think, you know, he's not on his computer. He'll call back, I'm sure. Oh, well, that goes with the theme of the show. I mean, all these critters, I mean, you look at Mike Delaney. Okay. You must have
dropped. Okay, look, I think I accidentally hung up. Okay, anyway. So, what were you talking about earlier?
Well, essentially, tonight's show is about obvious Jews, obvious, you know, Mamzers, obvious Zogbots.
Yeah.
Why are they still around? And, you know, the reason I ask you, I mean, before I sort of had it out with Eli James, you know, I'd look at his picture, and I'd look at it, and, I mean, I'd say, shit, this guy don't quite look white here. You know what I mean? But he's a Christian identity minister. You know, nobody's really denounced him here. I mean, but shit, he don't really look white to me. But
I totally agree.
You know, even have Russ Walker admit, you know, he won't admit Eli James is a Jew, but he will admit that Eli James is not a member of the family. So, to you, does Eli James look like a Sephardic Jew?
Yeah, the first time I saw Eli James, I knew he was a Mongol, and, you know, I suspected him being a Jew. I mean, I'm talking about the first time I ever saw his picture on the internet.
Yeah.
And then once I studied it, I said, yeah, he's a Jew. He's a Mongol Jew. And the first time I saw Dan Johns, I thought he was probably a Mongol.
I thought he was some sort of red nigger, like, you know, he was some sort of Mamzer or something or another here. But
first time I saw a picture of Jeremy Visser, obvious Mongrel, Brian Real, obvious Mongrel.
Well, Brian Real, you know, I've never had to look for 30 seconds like I did, you know, Eli James' picture. I mean, pretty well, even females, you know, like Roxy or John Britton's mother, I mean, you know, they won't say he's a nigger, but they'll say, that boy don't look white. You know what I mean?
I agree.
I mean, you know, I mean, Brian Real don't pass the 1 second test. You know what I mean? Much less 30 second test where you're dithering. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, there's some people that obviously. And see, I told Russ today, all the people like in East Tennessee, North Carolina that me and him used to keep feast days with. I said, I'm not going to keep feast days with these people because they've got obvious Jews, obvious members. Mamzers, obvious Zogbots, okay?
Yeah. And, I mean, it's obvious. So why are they hanging around, since they claim to be Christian, why are they hanging around these people?
Yeah, and I thought, Russ, what's the point? I mean, I was going up to Michigan, and I was probably partially instrumental in busting up some of those people, the group up there, because I started pointing out stuff that they didn't want to hear, and I said, look, I got all these people, whether they're Mongrels or even if they're Wiggers, and they're going to smart off to me, okay? And they're going to get in my face and disrespect me. And they're going to trash Yahweh and the Bible so they can kiss ass to some Jew that they paid to come speak, or some mamzer they paid, you know, some famous, you know, to hell with that shit. It's just, you know, I mean, I'm just not going to put up with shit anymore. I mean, I'm going to tell these people what I think, and I don't give a damn who they are.
Okay. You look at Mike Delaney. I mean, to me, he looks like he could be Curly Howard's son and the Fourth Stooge. You know what I mean?
The first time I saw him, I don't give a damn about his fake blonde hair and his blue contacts and his blue-eyed contacts. I don't give a damn about all that shit. His nose.
He looks like a round-headed Jew. Is what he looks like.
I mean, the first time I saw his nose, I said he's a Jew. I mean, there was 1 second.
Well, it's not just that. It's the round head too. It's the shape of his head too. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. I agree.
I mean, he's a round-headed Jew. You know, and the nose, yeah.
Yes,
I mean,
some of these people, if they're Wiggers and they're not Jews or Mamzers, if they are Wiggers, they don't want to rock the boat. I mean, some of these Wiggers in identity, they don't want to rock the boat. They want to get along with everybody. They want to be nice. They want to play nice. And to hell with that shit, okay? That's not what Yahweh was all about. That's not what the patriarchs in the Old Testament was all about. It was all about putting Yahweh and his laws first.
You're
not going to get anywhere without water. I mean, if you water the truth down and you want to suck up to everybody and get along with everybody and you can be bought off with money by the Jews and Zogbots and Mamzers and they give you a little money so you look their way, to hell with that.
Yeah.
Okay?
Well, I remember after, you know, Pastor Butler died in, what, early September 2004, I was going to support Wickstrom. And then, one of these old guys who I, you know, talked to in the old resistance said, Martin, you don't want to do that. I mean, Wickstrom ran off with some man's wife, and, you know, from what I gather, he did, you know, the guy got sent to prison. He got murdered in prison by the pigs. And he's doing porn videos with this woman he stole.
Keith Kallstrom is like Kathy Kallstrom. Wickstrom was banging her. He led her up to the Walmart parking lot in Oklahoma or whatever. Yeah, Keith Kallstrom, somebody else in identity gave me his number, and I called him. And right off the bat, I knew he was a little bit, he was kind of losing it. And, he was trying to get me to go up to Michigan with him to get his wife back. And I said, look, she cheated on you. She don't want you. She's trash. Leave her the hell alone.
Yeah, I mean, shit. I mean, you essentially got rid of a bitch. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You got rid of a bitch.
And yes, he said, no, she's my property. I'm going to go up there and get her back. I said, what if she don't want to go with you? Is he going to take her by force or something? So anyway.
Well, it didn't work out well. He did go up there. From what I gather, Wickstrom called the FBI and the Michigan State pig lice, and essentially he got thrown in jail for 7 years. He only lived about a little over a year of it.
Yeah.
You know, and he was essentially murdered by the pigs.
And this is what I've heard about Keith Kallstrom. I saw his picture, and I thought he was a mongrel. Some people said that him and his brother had a nose job, and I confronted him. He supposedly admitted... Supposedly his daddy was white, but his mom had a little Jew in her shoes.
Okay. Well, I don't know anything about really Keith Kallstrom. I mean, after I heard that stuff, I went ahead and actually did some investigation, and from what I gather was true. And, well, that sort of ended me thinking of supporting Wickstrom. I mean, how can you support somebody, even if he's white, who essentially is stealing women that don't belong to him, and especially snitching to Zog to save the sorry ass. You know what I mean?
I'm not arguing with you, Mark.
Yeah, okay. Well, I mean, I mean, after I sort of heard that and did a little investigation, you know, I was not going to support Wickstrom. You know what I mean? I don't usually scream too much about Wickstrom, but I don't have a high opinion. I have a rather low opinion of Wickstrom. You know what I mean?
Well, the thing I'm saying is this, okay? Everybody wants to get along, and nobody wants to be a leader themselves. They want to support some corrupt leader because they're too damn lazy to stand for anything on their own. And I'm going to be a leader at least in my own household, and I'm certainly not going to look up to some loser that's taking everybody's money and that's no better than me or anybody else. And in most cases, they have a lot worse. And, you know, that's just where I'm at with it. And the thing is I'm to the point now, I'm just going to tell these people what I think of them.
Okay. Well, I mean, you know, I don't troll Wickstrom's, you know, talk show. I don't bother with Wickstrom. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I just don't, you know, if you want to mess with it, then, you know, I mean, if you want to mess with Wickstrom because you have nothing better to do than play CI, well, then go play CI with Wickstrom. I don't care. You know what I mean?
Like the CI. Russell missed the feast day this year, but Wickstrom and Skip Baker were together. I saw the video on YouTube. It's like about 10 or 20 people, maybe 30, but they're one. Wickstrom's lost a lot of his credibility and support. He used to have feast days of 100 people up in Michigan, and now he's got some in Tennessee, and from what I gather, it wasn't nowhere near 100.
Well, the true believers just decided to say a hell of it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Hell with it here.
Look, most of the true believers have gone underground, and they're keeping a low profile. They've gone underground, and it's just them and their families that they, fellowship with.
Yeah.
And for the most part, they don't fellowship with outsiders, and that's a good thing.
Well, that's always sort of been the way things are. I mean, there's a bunch of people from the Armstrong Church here, and there's a few dual seedliners, and, you know, like I was trying to explain to this guy from Australia, well, he lives in Australia, he's listening today here, is Crocodile Ralph.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm trying to explain, you know, he's an American who lives in Australia, and I'm trying to explain is that this ordination here, I gotta laugh because there's some idiots who will pay $4,000 or $5,000 or $6,000 for a semester for what? 3 years, so that's up to 3 years to get a quote doctorate in divinity or whatever here. So that's what? Anywhere from anywhere from about $16,000 to $25,000 for a stupid degree here. And I go ahead and old Ray Redfern.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I suspect he may have died of a cocaine overdose, but, you know, and he was somewhat of a criminal, and, you know, for my guy, he was a little bit, you know, psychotic, but, you know, at least he had enough freaking sense to go in to, you know, he just simply paid $25, and he formed his own Church of the Sons of Yahweh. And he was supposed to get 3 people to join, but hell, the Secretary of State just took the $25 and, you know, just let him sign up as the sole director here. And then about a couple months later, this Nazi named Harold Grooms, you know, who had about $1 million estate, you know, small business or, you know, home or whatever, he got 40%, you know, Ray Redfern for Church of Sons of Yahweh got 40% of it. So essentially, old Ray Redfern, he paid all of what? $25 to become a minister. You know what I mean? That's a whole lot better than paying $25,000 to get your head full of shit and essentially, you know, to go ahead and get teaching credentials. I mean, Dan Johns is still butthurt that him and Eli James went to chew ass on the Wickstrom, and Wickstrom went ahead and, quote, just fellowshipped old Dan Johns for it. You know, Dad Johns was all butthurt over it. Dad Johns still butthurt over it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Then in 2004, 2005, old Morris Gillette and Bradley Jacobs wanted to beat Dad Johns' ass. August Christ and, you know, Morris Gillette, you know, I think it's August Christ and Bradley Jacobs wanted to beat old Dad Johns' ass here. And I mean, Eli James, at least to his credit, went ahead and saved old Dad Johns from getting his ass whooped. You know what I mean? But any case, you know, that's why Eli James went ahead and, you know, didn't know that Fink is claiming that the two seed line message is a allegory about a race mixing event here. I told him is that Finkelstein's been saying it 4 or 5 times, and he's going, last night he was going ass to mouth, not with Brian Rio, but with old Meerkat Mark Downey. And I remember when old Downey first became a minister, It was when Larry Blanchard ran off to Tennessee, you know, and left poor Clunt and her meerkat bereft of some pretend Christian identity ministry. So, old Clunt went ahead and anointed old meerkat Mark with, you know, with a unholy combination of Clunt Stanky, Jergens Lotion, and Crisco Oil. And then he became a minister. And in any case, he's gotten smoother here, but you know, he used to be he used to look and sound and write like a total retard. You know, he still doesn't dare, you know, overtly claim to be no devil, but that's exactly what he is. So anyway, and things going ahead and go along with him. But you have all these characters. You look at them. You can tell that they're not for real. You can tell them that. You can tell that they're not.
I know. And see, I have no. See, basically, you know, I've talked to Russ and some of these other people from Michigan, and they don't want to rock the boat. And like some of these people from Michigan, I'm getting pissed off at them because some of them are actual Mamsers, and some of them are just Wiggers. But the Wiggers are willing to go along with the Mamsers and Jews and pretend that they're white, and then they get pissed off at me for pointing shit out. And they're going to disrespect me, and I'm telling the truth. The hell with that. I'm just coming out. I'm going to tell them to their face that, you know, if they want to sugarcoat the truth, and they want to support Jews and obvious Jews and obvious Mamsers, and they want to play little church, okay, the hell with them. I don't even respect them anymore. Yeah?
In other words, piss on them, right?
Yeah.
You got better things to do. You got better things to do.
Because they want numbers, Martin. They want numbers. And if they run all the Jews and Mamsers out of their congregation and their group, they're not going to have as many people. And they want numbers. They want a little money. They want support. They want to look like they got an organization. And they want a lie to themselves. And just the hell with it, you know? I mean, I'd rather have a few friends, but at least, you know, they're loyal, pure white friends than to have a bunch of wiggers around me. You know, I mean, I got enough wiggers in my own family. I got enough wiggers at work and all over town that I have to deal with. And if I'm going to go out of my way to keep these days or to hang out and fellowship, it certainly hell ain't going to be a bunch of wiggers sitting on the fence that are, that, you know, when push comes to shove, most wiggers are going to sell you out, okay? They're going to stab you in the back. And if Saul, you know, if they have a chance to turn you into Zog or to do you in, a lot of Wiggers are going to do you in because they just don't care, or they care more about money or saving their own ass than they do about loyalty or doing what's right, you know?
Oh, yeah.
So, anyway, so what else is going on in the movement? I mean, basically...
Andy went ahead and pointed out to where old April Gady is claiming that Edgar Steele is insane, but she's been pulling this shit since, what, 2-3 years here. She's been pulling this shit since, slightly before May, along with Don Pauley. Don Pauley, you know, there's this character called Don Pauley, and he's a complete retard. Who essentially comes up with this crap, we ought to go ahead and claim Edgar Steele was insane. Well, folks, I have seen these people with their insanity defense.
Yeah.
And nowadays, it's almost impossible to get an insanity defense unless you get the prosecuting attorney to go along with it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean, you know, and I've seen criminals pretend to be insane and get away with pretending to be insane. And what they do is that, you know, but the problem in many cases is that, well, it's sort of like in Missouri. In Missouri, the average sentence for what? Second degree murder is about 14 or 15 years, 12 to 15 years, more like,
yeah.
You know, and closer to 15 than 12 here, but,
what
I mean, essentially,
What about manslaughter? Is that like a couple of years?
Manslaughter is 7 years.
Well, that's still quite, I mean, because manslaughter can be you accidentally did, I mean, you're not even at fault, and you still get manslaughter, so that's pretty...
Well, they were bitching and pissing and moaning about, before I got thrown in jail, the year before I got thrown in jail, here's this drunk, you know, this guy drunk as a skunk, and he's liquored up, and he, you know, he's not even controlling his car, and he kills a grandfather and an 8-year-old girl. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So essentially, they were so pissed off here, but all they could give him was 7 years. So essentially, instead of it running concurrently, it ran consecutively. So he got essentially 14 years for two manslaughters. You know what I mean? I think the guy did deserve, you know, 2 7-year terms for
cases like that. But there are cases where people get manslaughter. Where it's totally accidental.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that's the thing about these prostitutes and these pigs. They actually think that the society is better the more people you put in prison, especially white people you put in prison.
Well, listen, Martin, it's a money-making operation. That's why we have so many people in prison. These prisons, they for every inmate they have in prison, they get so much from the government, $60,000 or $80,000 per prisoner a year. Well, it doesn't cost them, but maybe $10,000 or $15,000 to incarcerate them for a year. And on top of that, a lot of these prisons get free labor out of the inmates. They pay them 2 or 3 cents an hour, and basically it's slave labor. So
I mean, yeah, I mean, Mr. Prostitutor, you may think that you're going to get away with this shit. You cannot be sued. But look, Mr. Prosecutor, you're earning for yourself and your family a skinny. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, oh, by the way, speaking of which, old Mumpsnut was over on Anchorage Activists going on and on and on about what an evil, stupid asshole I am. And what happens, I was looking at the Pisser Possum's forum, and it seems that somewhere, you know, sometime around a week ago or so, old Lyrebell Mumpsnut the Clueless got banned from the Pisser Possums.
Yeah.
He's banned. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, he was going ahead dumping on old Obagender Bender. But the thing about Lyrebell Mumpsnut the Clueless is that, I mean, what he is, he's just a lying retard and a probable Zogbot. That's what he.
Yeah.
That's all he is. And you know, Morse Gillette kicked his. You know, I mean, me and John Britton seen him. Morse Gillette kick old Lyrebell Mumpsnut the Clueless upstairs to where he could do no harm, and then he disappeared.
Yeah.
And old Mumpsnut, oh, Gillette didn't kick me out. Well, pretty well, Gillette did kick him out. And old Obagender Bender was saying, well, you were whining like a pussy. You know, and, you know, over on Obagender Bender's secret portion of his forum,
yeah,
about how Gillette yelled at old Mumpsnut.
Yeah.
About the time I went ahead and found these tapes of Topeka in 2004,
yeah,
I went ahead and, you know, sent a copy of DVD to Billy Roper, you know, for free.
Yeah.
And Billy Roper, thanked me for them, and you know, I went ahead and said, by the way, this character, old Lyrebell the Clueless here, I mean, he's, you know, he got a suspended imposition sentence in 1996 here, and I think he's a Zogbot here, because back in 96, this suspended imposition sentence was only given for snitches. And old Billy, you know, Billy Roper told me is that he kicked out Mumpsnut a month or two before for Mumpsnut talking about setting up a motorcycle gang auxiliary, and you know, Billy Roper didn't want to do that. He thought Mumpsnut was a snitch. So Billy Roper kicked him out. Mumpsnut is lying like a dog about it. Well, essentially, old Mumpsnut got his... I mean, you know, the character's a total retard. And I ordained him because I said I'd ordain him. But, you know, here he is coming down here. And, Martin, I'll never call you a child molester because, you know, I was accused twice of sexually assaulting my niece. And then he was talking about his sisters being a bunch of mud sharks and have a bunch of nigglets here. So I wasn't sure what the hell. You know, I didn't know he even had a white brother. I just thought, you know, when he's talking about sexually assaulting his niece, he's talking about assaulting his nigglets. But, you know, then later on, he went ahead and said that he sexually assaulted his 19-year-old older white brother's daughter or something like that here. And
yeah, so
Oh, yeah. Well, what happens is that when he was here, he went ahead and said that he signed up for 6 years, but he didn't make it quite 2 years before he was in Air Force security. I mean, essentially guarding the landing zone. He was sort of like their little Air Force ground forces to protect the essentially the hangars and the whatever airlines or whatever, you know, for ground-based planes or something like that. And, you know, he essentially said that he got kicked out because of some misunderstanding over him taking stuff that didn't belong to him. So essentially he was a thief. And then you have your 1982 conviction where he pleads guilty. I mean, whenever Mumstock gets caught, he usually just pleads guilty. You know what I mean? He don't even wait for arraignment before he pleads guilty.
Yeah.
You got a suspended imposition sentence in 1996, and then you see him on Clan of Mamzers. He's sitting there just like I remember him, just sitting like a stupid retard just trying to soak things up here. And what Mumstead will do is that first couple of times he'll tell a lie, he'll know it's a lie, but he'll go ahead and essentially come on and, you know, he'll just go ahead and make it up here. Like he claimed that I said that John Britton was a drunkard. I never said any such thing. I mean, old Mumpsnut talked on Roxy's phone to Pastor John Britton.
Well, that explains why he would get along with Obie and Visser, because everything that comes out of Visser's mouth is a lie. And he used to worship. Mumpsnut used to come into my chat room all the time and said that Jeremy Visser is the only true CI pastor and all this other crap. I mean, he was worshiping Visser.
Well, he actually did a show. He actually did a show with Visser. Of a sort here. I mean, Mumpsnut, he's not really much, you know, he bought an AIT course. He bought an AIT course from Mike Hallamore, and essentially Mike Hallamore was running behind, so he did essentially what I did. You know, after the third lesson, you go ahead and get the rest of the stuff in, and essentially you get tired of dealing. You know, back in 1999, you get tired with dealing with these females that Mike Hallamore has grading the dang thing. And essentially all it boils down to is you write exactly what it says in the AIT course here. If you go ahead and have any insight, you're going to get marked off. You know, these females, I mean, they just grade it, you know, by just simply writing exactly the same damn thing. So you go ahead, you look at the chapter, you write the same damn thing for three chapters, you send it in. You'll divide up to about 12 or 13 sections. At the end of the third section, you go ahead and you get the maps, you go ahead and get the other stuff. So essentially, when old Liar Bell DeCluse was in 2009, essentially Mike Hallamore had been kicked off of this place he'd been running for 20 years, and essentially he claimed to have a fire, and, you know, hell, he was even more behind than what he was in 1999. And old Mumpsnut, you know, just simply claimed that, you know, he gave up on it. But here he was, bitching and pissing and moaning along with Billy Wood, Brian Wright, you know, that me and John Britton hadn't passed the AIT course, and he hadn't himself here. But in any case, you have all these characters. They make up all this stupid shit here. And really, Christian identity is rather simple. I mean, you know, the Christian identity belief is that, you know, Western and Northern, you know, white Europeans, you know, with a few exceptions of, you know, Jews who've come in, are the, quote, lost, you know, 10 or actually 13 tribes of the House of Israel. And dual seed line holds that, you know, there's two seed lines, a good seed line and a evil seed line. The good seed line is from the descendants of Adam, through Seth, through Noah, through Shem, through Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Israel, and, you know, and the patriarchs there, and essentially those are the Israelites, and that the Jews are descended from, you know, Satan's seduction of Eve, giving birth to Cain, the first Jew. And you had some Jews who didn't go through the flood. I mean, their dual seed line belief is that the Noah's flood was a local flood in the Tarim Basin. And that Cain became Sargon and, you know, a few other things. But essentially, it's not very difficult. Once you understand the basics here, then you go ahead and you can get on, you know, you can go ahead and get on the chrome. You know what I mean? you know, the other knowledge here, but that's not altogether necessary. Really, dual seed like Chris Fandetti means knowing who you are and who the Jews are, and that there's perpetual enmity between the two, and that, you know, the current regime is altogether in favor of the Jews here. So you need to tread lightly. You know what I mean? And there's going to be a great tribulation, and Jesus Christ is going to come. There's going to be a thousand-year millennium, and then there's going to be another rebellion by all these Whigger nations, and then there's going to be, you know, the Great Judgment Day. And essentially, you're on this earth to make, you know, to show that you deserve to gain eternal life. And it's not very difficult. You know, once you understand, you know, these three or four or five basics here, I think I've pretty well explained the basis of dual seedline Christianity in its main form within 5 minutes, right?
Yes.
You know, so what's hard to understand about, what's hard to, you know, you not only got to, you know, it's not hard to understand if there's something within you that resonates to it. You understand what I'm saying?
Well, like with me, I knew something was wrong. I knew the churches were phony. I didn't grow up in the churches, but I started going to churches in college. I had friends that would go to different churches, and I would go to the church, and I went from church to church, and it was all the same bullshit. They never could give any answers, and then I started reading the Bible on my own, and I said, wait a minute, they're not preaching. Well, you know, I just read the New Testament. I didn't even read the Old Testament at that point. And I said, all these preachers, all these churches, they're not teaching what's in the New Testament. So I flat out quit going to all the churches, and I started listening to talk radio, different non-denominational preachers, and I started calling some of them, and then eventually they introduced me to some people in East Tennessee, and then eventually I met all those, like Wickstrom and all the other group of identity people. But when I first heard the identity message, I had no problem. It made complete sense. I knew that I thought I was a Gentile. I had been told that the Jews were God's chosen people, and the white Goyim, us white, pure white Goyim, we were just Gentiles. But when I was told that the Jews were the literal spawn of Satan, as the pure white race were the children of Yahweh, it all made sense to me. So it resonated with me. But there's a lot of so-called Anglo-Mestizos or Whiggers, white, so-called white people, that you approach, you think they're white, maybe they are, maybe they aren't, and it doesn't work. I mean, I would say the majority of Whiggers out there, even if they're not Anglo-Mestizo, even if they're Whiggers, the majority of them, it's not a popular message for them to hear this. So Yahweh calls us. I mean, we don't go out there and choose. Yahweh chooses who he wants to wake up, so it's not like we're going to wake up all the Whiggers. Most of them don't want to be woke up, Martin. Most of them are very resistant to anything racial, anything against, you know, what we preach. They don't like, because we go against the mainstream system. We go against what the universalist Judeo-Christian churches say. We go against what the Jew media says. And they just don't have, I mean, most of them deep down, like I said, most of them hate niggers. Most of them really, really don't like Mexicans. Most of them are taught to love the Jew. They really don't even want to think about hating the Jews. But they don't want to admit it, you know.
Okay, folks, I'm going to go ahead and break this hour-long section into two segments, and we will be back in about a minute after a music break for the second section with Logan Hunter. Hail Victory.
Communism is dead, they said. I think they lied. It's truth they hide, for still survives in the good old USA. Eh? Right here it lives, and here it breathes, and feeds upon our liberties, and you have the nerve to say it's not that way? Well, they're taking the patriots away, ha-ha. They're taking the patriots away, ho-ho, hee-hee, ha-ha. To the prison camp, where life's unbearable all the time, and I'll be happy to see my patriot friends again as they shackle me in, and they're taking the patriots away, ha-ha. Here comes Jack Blue, this thugs in black, to smash your doors and stomp your cat, to roust you out in the late, late hours of the night. Wrong. At 3 a.m. they scream and shout and scatter your living room about. With threats of death they swear as they tear up your rugs. for guns. They're taking the patriots away, ha-ha. They're taking the patriots away, ho-ho, hee-hee, ha-ha. To the prison camp, where banks are bearable all the time. And you shouldn't keep back with those men in black with their ski masks on and their weapons drawn. Cause they're taking the patriots away, ha-ha. The twisting thread shall stretch and snap, the straw shall break the camel's back, and tables when they turn shall bring a swift end. Friend, yes, things divine can wrench and bend the well-laid plans of mice and men. And when they do, what will you traitors do then? When? We'll be taking the traitors away, ha-ha. We'll be taking the traitors away, ho-ho, hee-hee, ha-ha. To the prison camp, where a cell's been awaiting them all this time. And I'll be happy to see their face in this proper space, filling jail space, as we're taking you traitors away, ha-ha. To the prison camps they've quietly built so recently, and won't they look cute in their prison suits and their shackles on, just shuffling along as we're taking the traitors away, ha ha. Well, there's jobs for you and that human zoo, and you'll work all day without any pay, but that's okay, there's nothing to buy in there anyway, and we're taking you traitors away, ha ha. And won't they feel dumb as they see us come to round up the rest of them one by one as we're taking the traitors away?
Okay, folks, we're back from the music break, and we'll continue the second segment of about an hour long with Logan Hunter. Well, you have some, like some of these characters, you tell them the Jesus. I mean, there's this old, I call a preacher lady. I think she's a little bit nutty. I don't know if she's ever got married. She lives in a house a mile and a half north of Granby. She's a nice person. You see her at the Dollar General store waiting to get a ride to Neosho. And then at Neosho, you see her waiting to get a ride back. And, back in the days when I had a bigger car like this Pontiac Le Mans, we'd go ahead and just clear stuff out, out in the back here and, give her a ride to her house here and, then we'd, go on home here. Essentially, though, is that, I call a preacher lady because she's very, very religious here, but she believes that Jews are God's chosen people. She knows exactly what I think here. I'm polite to her. She's polite. She must be about 60 or so here, and she's not a bad person, but she's just sort of silly. But
yeah.
Any case, someone's saying that Christian identity is a dying movement. The answer is it's not. It's sort of like these militias. They may think it's a dying movement, but all it is here, they're not even calling it a militia anymore. Essentially, it's just a little grouping of people understanding that, it's all going to turn to shit, and what they're doing is they're getting their family and friends to watch their back here. And that's what you end up having. And they're not pretending to be a constitutional militia or anything like that. They're a good deal like all these militias that showed up, formed up in Missouri, back in 1993 and 1994 before these suburban wiggers found out about and wanted to be a constitutional militia and, show how they wasn't racist and all that. I was looking on Saturday Night Live. They had some nigger as the host here. And they played The Walking Dead. And essentially you had this one wigger playing Rick Grimes, another, Carl, and another, the guy with the crossbow, named Daryl, and another playing Maggie, and they come across this nigger. And he says, I'm not sure we'll let you in a group here, but because he's a nigger, we'll let you in a group, but here comes a zombie, comes by, he takes a hunk out of his neck here, and essentially, the nigger is about to turn into a zombie here, but every time he goes ahead and starts growling or hissing here, he goes ahead and convinces him that's racist to think that, that because he's a nigger, that he's a zombie. And then he goes ahead and takes a bite out of old Maggie's neck and supposedly kills her. And, then he says, you're going to be going ahead and getting on me if I'm eating watermelon or fried chicken, won't you? And he's playing the racist card. This nigger is playing the racist card, big time, on the walk, it's a parody on The Walking Dead here about how wiggers are scared, you know, even a survival situation, to be called racist by a nigger. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. And, you know, usually Saturday Night Live, it's all together glib or wigger, but every so often, like the week before the selection, they were essentially admitting that old Bongo was a Kenyan nigger, but he didn't have, you know, real papers. You know what I mean? So, I don't know. It was just sort of hilarious here. In any case, folks, you know, I don't know. I think Crocodile Ralph went ahead and listened to my Eli or James Halloween tape here. And me and Russ are just simply saying, well, we don't need a DNA test. We don't need a DNA test at all. I mean, you know, what did they do in the centuries before they had DNA tests here? Can't these people just simply look and tell that someone's a Jew, that someone's a Mamzer, someone isn't white? You know what I mean?
Yeah, and most, look, a lot of wiggers, they don't have sense enough to really want to know. They want to pretend that every so-called Anglo-Mestizo is pure white so they can get numbers. But deep down inside, they know this person's a Mamzer, but they don't want to admit it. And also, not only do they want numbers, but they don't have the balls to admit it. They're cowards. I mean, you know.
Well, they want to be in a, quote, church. They want to be in something that makes them feel comfortable. They want to play at being something here. They don't want to be.
I agree.
They don't want to be. They want to be part of. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And what you got to do is say, you know, you either are or you are not, and leave it at that. You know what I mean? Don't want to be. Don't pretend to be. Just be. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just be.
Yeah,
and, you know, it's just sort of like, so like Yahweh, one of his names is I Am That I Am. You know, they call me I Am. See what, you know, Yahweh is. He am. You know what I mean? I am.
Yeah.
You know, he lives in the present. He's a God of the present. And, you know, he is what he is. Okay?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, you have all these people, that's what gets me here. I mean, Wickstrom and Gillette too, they will speak a Christian identity message, but, you know, essentially what it boils down to is, in many cases, it's give them money, even though they're not a Levite, to support their work and, you know, play around or play games at, you know, play games to it. I mean, Gillette has enough money, I guess, from the trust fund to where he doesn't really have to work.
Yeah.
But rather than simply do what me and Pastor Britton want him to do, just simply run a quiet Christian identity church. He wants to go ahead and run his own Aryan Nation section and pretend that he's, you know, with, you know, Pastor Richard Butler, and essentially waste, you know, bring in all these Mongols and, you know, pretend it being something here. When he could simply, you know, and I'm going to fault that too here. I need to settle down and essentially, you know, probably write with a good deal of Comparean, you know, background. I just simply need to write what you are supposed to believe if you are dual seed line Christian identity. You know what I mean? And have done with it here. You know, probably about 100, you know, the main parts and then the rest of the stuff here. You know, that's why I value, you know, your Friday night studies together.
Yeah.
Because what we've done is, unlike Eli James just covering the book of Jasher, yuck, 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 you know, with that skillet licking retard Greg Howard, you know, pretty well what we've done is we've pretty well covered along with it, you know, how the Genesis goes ahead and, you know, Jasher corroborates Genesis. You know what I mean? Genesis does not corroborate Jasher, but we learn more. We learn more. We learn more from, we learn more from essentially comparing the actual books of the Bible with Jasher.
Sometimes Jasher has details that Genesis doesn't have. I mean, so it complements it, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I'm reading it along with you, and so is everybody else here reading along with you. I did not know that Ada and Zillah were actually of the line of Adam through Seth.
Yeah.
And essentially that they gave birth to Tubal-Cain and Naamah, who ended up becoming Ham's wife and Canaan's mother. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, essentially, the line of Adam and the line of Cain mixed in together. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just before, and then, you know, then it was on the ark here. And here you have little Canaan, Canaanite Jew devil. And here's Eli James trying to essentially do away with that. Trying to hide that, trying to cover that. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the thing is, Eli James, he basically is a universalist, and he wants to say that all the non-whites are going to pick virtual cotton. So he basically...
Well, he is a universalist. He is a Jew. He does believe the stupid crap that he believes. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And he wants to pretend to a number of things. You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
Yeah, he wants to pretend to a number of things. And, you know, the answer is, what do we do? You know, I mean, you know, I've caught him, you know, explaining that because Ham had sex with his mother here, that didn't make a little Whigger, you know, Whigger conceived in incest, didn't make him into a Jew boy. You know what I mean? He's a Jew boy because he's ascended, you know, one of the parents had to be a Jew, and essentially the Jew was Naamah. But we learn... You know, here's Eli James. He's gone ahead and, you know, in the time I've been out of jail, he's covered Jasher three times, and he's heading to go ahead and cover it again. And essentially all Eli James and Greg Yower do is just yuck, 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 juice, 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 yuck, 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 yuck. That's all they do. They don't cover it to where you're looking at Genesis, you know, where it covers Genesis here. Now, later on...
Look, they're just covered to say they covered it. But they don't really give an explanation. They don't teach. I mean, I've listened to Eli James and these other jokers, and I mean, I've never gotten anything out of any of them. And how any Whigger can listen to them and think that they're teachers is pretty pathetic. When you know you could read the Bible on your own and learn more than what you're going to learn from these jokers. And they're full of managers and Jews and a few Whiggers sprinkled in. And they want to play church on, you know, or play CI on Talk Shoe. And, anyway, yeah, I mean, basically we've got a few whites that listen to, and I don't know how many people go to the archives and download those, but there's got to be some. But we do have a few pure whites listen to my show and your show. Yeah, it's worth doing it just for them. I don't appreciate the trolls that come in there and all the nimbusters. But, you know, I mean, we took calls and we figured out it was a news guy and Paul Dembski pretending to be something that they weren't. And it was clear, both of them, especially Paul Dembski, both of them had Jewish voices. It was clear that they were not, I mean... And that,
yeah, well, you had, you know, pretty well, I don't know if you were in last night at Newskyk. Essentially, Newskyk was...
I wasn't.
Newskyk, what he was, is that I don't think he even bothered to play his trolls of my show and your show. He was collecting trolling. He was doing with this Commander McBride. He was, essentially he was collecting 2 weeks ago trolls. Is what he was doing. So all it was just pretty much the first 2 hours is a troll thing here. But at, what, 3 hours and 10 minutes, around 12:10 or so, because this guy does start the show around 9 o'clock my time, you know, 10 o'clock his time, although he pretends he's starting around 3 o'clock Icelandic time or something, which is a bunch of bullshit. But essentially, Newskike started the show, you know, and around 3 o'clock, one of the callers was none other than Mike Blevins, a.k.a. Von Blevins. And
yeah.
I've looked at Mike Blevins, and Mike Blevins looks like a Jew to me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And here's this character. He looks like a Jew, and he's essentially apologizing for being mean to the Jewish people here.
Yeah.
And, you know, here it is. I mean, it's sort of like Linder, it's sort of like the rest of these tards. He's a self-loathing Jew, is what he is. And so he's apologizing, I guess, for becoming an apostate Jew, and there's been a number of them. You know,
basically, you know, how can somebody that claim to be a white nationalist and all of a sudden feel bad for beating up on the Jews? I mean, first of all, he was a mongrel Jew to begin with, and he never should have been in a white nationalism. And any white person that has this can discern confusion of face. I don't need to be, for the majority of Mandlers and Jews out there, every now and then they'll fool you. It takes really studying. But for the majority of them, you look at confusion of face, and you know they're Mamsers, and once you know that, you don't need a DNA test, you don't need a blood test, you just need to leave them the hell alone.
Yeah, well, anyway, Mike Blevins, you know, Michael Blevins, who looks like a Jew, was apologizing for being mean to Jewish people, although he meant it at the time. He was whining, you know, because the Nimbuster Tards have gone ahead and collected... Oh, shows he did with Hal Turner and shows he did before Hal Turner or after Hal Turner or whatever, and put it up on BitTorrent, and Blevins was whining like a pussy about it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So.
I do.
I'm listening to this, and, you know, shoot, you're a self-loathing Jew boy who is apologizing for essentially snitching on your own kind. You know, and Jews do that. You know what I mean? A Dembski snail snitched out old Peter Goodman. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And, essentially the intern didn't mean to, but, you know, he snitched out Peter was good man's about taking a train ride to see him a week earlier, you know, in northern New York City. You know what I'm saying? So... You have all these characters, and you know, you get to know what they are. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Okay.
I agree.
Anyway, I'm looking at the chat here. Anyway, you have these characters.
Hey,
they are what they are.
Martin, is Russ Walker in the chat room?
Nope. Russ ain't gonna. I don't think Russ is gonna show.
Hey, wait a minute. He said he would. I'm gonna go to bed early. If he'll call in, just let him call in.
I ain't going to worry about it. I mean, shoot, I may just do a two-hour show tonight. I'm not worried about it. Pretty well, I haven't seen anything, seen or heard anything from Piggle today here. But what happened to my puppy dog? Seen their kitty cat, and he chased it, and essentially broke his chain. And, I see him running down there, and then... You know, I've seen that, you know, that bitch Crystal, you know, old Piggle soul lady, going ahead and screaming about fucking dogs and all this sort of thing. And then I heard my poopy dog just, you know, yelp here like he was being beaten. And, you know, essentially I took off as a lurch, you know, a bad hip. And, I mean, here's old puppy dog. He's just sitting in the chain, you know, the part that didn't break is wrapped around the wheel of the Hummer, so I managed to go ahead and get it unwrapped from underneath the wheel of the Hummer, and I asked her if Piggle had been served yet. She said she didn't know. So I went ahead and took my poopy dog up, and I think she went ahead and kicked him a couple times here because he's sort of racked up, you know what I mean, puppy dog is. No broken bones or nothing, but he's racked up. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So... any case, I'm just sort of, you know, that's about it. My sister isn't going to go back home to Florida right away. She's going to be around here for the next month or so. And hopefully we can get this done.
Okay, your mom's in North South Dakota.
Oh, yeah.
So bring your mom back to Missouri.
Yep, that's what we're going to do here. Have her in there and get the guardianship established and figure out what happened to her money, and you know, pretty well we're going to go ahead and get that done, and you know, hopefully we'll get her down here in Missouri. She'll have a house to live in, but also we'll have the house me and Roxy bought, and you know, I'm hoping that my brother will straighten up and fly right is what I'm hoping to do here. So that essentially we all can, you know, see our mother whenever we want. I mean, shoot. You know, even though I own half the trailer house down there, I'm sort of thinking is that, shoot, if Michael's straightened up fly right, I'll just go ahead and sign it over to him. Although I'll tell him, you may not want me to do that, because the fact of the matter is that, you know, that bitch can't take that half of the house away from me, but she can take it away from you in a heartbeat. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, yeah. I mean, I was sort of scared because I heard somebody honking the horn as they drove by with a pickup and a trailer, but it wasn't pickup's truck, and I didn't think it was a trailer. Essentially, what happens is that Roxy's niece here, who's this, you know, who's this awful bitch, she has sold her house to her twin brother. You know, not identical twins, but fraternal twin brother, and he's a nice guy. You know, but the bitch is a bitch, and she's moved up to Carthage, and I'm glad that the bitch has moved out. She tore down my chicken house, and what happens is that the brother's a nice guy. You know what I mean?
Okay.
And he's a real nice guy to get along with. He's sort of nearsighted, but he's really good with his hands. I mean, he's a skilled worker. I think he works on essentially machining or something like that. I mean, he's a skilled worker. He's a nice guy. And so I'm glad that bitch has moved on and sold that trailer house to her brother. You know what I mean? So that's good. That's good. So anyway, I had some, you know, sort of bad news, but, you know, poopy dog, he's sort of whacked up now, but, in case, you know, that's the way it is here at the hovel here. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, in any case.
Anyway, I think, you know, I have faith that you and your sister can get Mike to get your mom back to Missouri, and hopefully everything will work out okay. And, you know, basically,
I sort of think that essentially, yeah, if he doesn't have, you know, essentially if he doesn't have control of the money anymore, I mean, to where essentially he has to actually live on what, you know, is his share, I think he's going to settle down and fly right. You know what I mean? Just simply tell the bitch, okay, yeah, you can go ahead and do the food stamps. You can go ahead and do this or something like that. But essentially, I only have an income of this much per year. You're going to have to get used to it. You know what I mean?
Are y'all going to legally get the power of attorney taken away?
Oh, from what I gather, it's been taken away because by the act of appointing a guardian ad litem when they opened up the case, essentially, Mike no longer has power of attorney legally. You understand what I'm saying?
Good.
By opening up the case here, that's what the revised statute of Missouri says here. There's going to be a hearing. You know what I mean?
Okay. All right.
So, I mean, we can make it easy or we can go ahead and make it hard, and I'm hoping that Mike will just simply have enough sense to, okay, my mother admits she's not competent. Let's go ahead and find out what it is, and then, you know, to where he would want to be one of the people who get power of being a guardian. But essentially what it would be, if we end up having three guardians, well, it'd take two signatures to do anything major. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know, and pretty well, if me and my sister were guardian, then essentially what happens, me and my sister, You know, it'd take two out of two to go ahead and grieve. So I don't really mind my brother being a guardian too, but essentially he doesn't get to do what he's done, and my mom will be in Missouri pretty well most of the year, and then in the winter months she'll be in Florida. You know what I mean?
And that's the way it should be.
That's the way it should be.
To enjoy the rest of her life.
You know, and then what happens is that the farm, you know, just on the edge of Granby here, will be pretty well, you know, the way I want to arrange it is that, hey, if you're descended from my mom and my dad, you know, you can go ahead and live there rent-free. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, and just have it that way here. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Now, you know, since it's not in Granby per se, you can go ahead and always, you know, buy a couple thousand dollars single wide, or, you know, use double wide, or put up some 16 by 16 houses here, sort of not connected to each other, you know what I mean, directly.
Yeah.
I mean, you can go ahead and have some fine double wide living or single wide living or actually house living, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
No problem. And, you know, that's the way I want it to be here. In any case, yeah, I'm hoping to get my brother back. Just simply say, hey, look, this shit can't be going on. It needs to be straightened out. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, let mom live.
Well, I'm glad you stepped in before they had the auction and before they did anything.
Well, they had the auction here, but essentially, you know, Essentially, I couldn't, me and my sister just simply couldn't afford to let Mike run wild, and we had to stop it.
Oh.
You know, and I wasn't too thrilled about it, but it had to be done. You know what I mean? So, you do it, and leave it at that. Right?
Okay. All right.
Okay?
I agree. As far as, so you listened to Newskite last night. So what other radio shows did you listen to?
Oh, what happens, oh, you liar. He was sort of pimping me. He was sort of pumping me for, oh, but Genderbender was there. And I'd found out a little bit before is that Mumps Nut got his ass banned sometime in the last week or so. You know, he was pretty well making, he was probably making a good deal fun of Obagenderbender and how he was doing a whole lot better with Anchorage Activists than Obagenderbender was. And, you know, still was going to say what a big retard I was. And, essentially what happens is the Think Machine, he had Meerkat Mark, and they were talking about the wonderful constipation and bill of goods and how it was one of Yahweh's own rules and what have you, and which is a bunch of horseshit. But in any case, where was I? So I didn't even bother. I listened a little bit to Think Machine, go ask them out for Meerkat Mark Downey. And then I went over to Elias and was pretty well telling about Finkelstein, you know, claiming that dual seed line Christian identity was an allegory. And Elias was interested in that. Then Obagenderbender told him, well, you ought to fight you ought to go ahead and cause trouble, Marty. And so Elias went ahead and blocked me. So,
Oh, really?
Yeah, so anyway, I got another computer fired up, and essentially I did some trolling. You know what I mean? Did some trolling. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So,
So basically, is Visser still, is he still sick?
I don't know. I don't have any sock puppets. I wish to go ahead and blow over at Visser's here. You know, blow the, Now he did catch one sock puppet 3, 4, 5, 6 months ago here. So essentially what I usually do is I just deal with what is out in the open for everybody, and I go ahead and I click the number. If you click the number, you can go ahead and get the link to it. So then I go ahead and just copy and paste here without doing anything else here. So anyway, You know, I don't know if Visser is sick or not. He was supposed to be running wild this weekend. He might have done another show, but then again, he might be, you know, I mean, he might be a sick mamzer here. I mean, it's sort of hilarious because, essentially, Obagenda better admits that Visser is crook here. He says that's Australia for sick. So if he was in jail again, and essentially from my gather, Obagenda better admits that Visser's been in prison before. You know what I mean?
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. So, I don't know if Obagenda better meant to go ahead and say that, but he goes ahead and admits that here. Any case, I guess I'm going to go ahead and let you go here, but you'll probably be back on Thursday's show, right?
Yeah, I'll call you Thursday night right before my show Friday, and we'll go into this more of Jasher and the Genesis. And, you know, from now on, If I get any more callers and I know they're Jews or Mamzers, I'm probably going to cut them off at the beginning because they wasted a lot of time. I mean, it was entertainment, but, you know, still. Yeah.
Well, why fuck with them? You know what I mean? Why fuck with them?
I agree.
I mean, I'll go ahead on my show, you know, after you get done talking. Well, heck. Yeah, I mean, I could do a six-hour show, but why should I? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I agree.
Why should I? I mean, tomorrow's Monday. You know, the guy from Australia, I think it is what? It's around what? Oh, 2 in the afternoon, so it don't really matter to him. He's on retirement, I think. But, I mean, you have people all across the time zones. You have old Crocodile Ralph is on... I don't know if Crocodile Ralph is still on here. Oh, well. Anyway, Crocodile Ralph seems to have left here. In any case, we can go ahead and we'll do whatever we do here. I do need to go ahead and catch up, but the sense of the movement is not going to change. It's just a bunch of mamzers and tards and wiggers and idiots. And like I urge people, I urge them to simply save their own life. You know what I mean?
I agree with that, Martin. From now on, me and my own household, and if I try to help a wigger, they don't want to listen. I'm just going to cut them off. I'm not going to waste my time. And like I said, I used to keep all these feast days with all these people, and there were mongrels and zog bots. And all these wiggers wanted to be nice to them. I'm just going to have them. I'm going to expose them. And then I'm going to butt ties with those wiggers because, you know, they're just wasting time. Yeah?
So. Just suck them and don't feed them beans, right?
Yeah, I agree. And listen, it's getting late. I will call in Thursday.
All righty. Well, we'll see you then here, Logan. Hail victory.
Sounds good. Hail victory.
Okay, folks, we're going to go ahead and take about, 3 or 4 minute break. I'll go ahead and look at the chat room. I may just be doing a 2 hour show tonight here. I sort of wonder what the heck happened to old Crocodile Ralph here, but it looks like he sort of disappeared, so we will be back and, oh, I guess he had to go somewhere. Anyway, folks, she tore down the chicken house. Oh, she tore down the chicken house way back in 2005. Roxy gave the chickens to her Anglo Mestizo niece here, Debbie, and, essentially I don't have any chickens, so I don't need a chicken house. But I'm glad that her nicer brother moved in and the bitch moved out. So anyway, folks, we're going to go ahead and take a break. Hail victory.
Today, I am 168 years old. That is because of my elixir vitae, source of life and youth. Bring forth the elixir vitae and let me drink. Familiar. I shall now drink of the elixir vitae, and you shall all witness the eighth wonder of the world. Your heart. God, my life away!
Mercy! Pasta! Mercy! Mercy!
Ishmael, torture him. Bury him alive in the red anthill. Also, sever his left ear. Like Van Gogh.
Yes, Pupasha.
Yes, Pupasha.
We have only 6 months to gather the most precious and closely guarded ingredients in the world. Ingredients that will make up my new elixir vitae. Dagoids! You'll go into training immediately. Toughen yourselves up. Make yourselves like steel. While I plot the most daring robberies of all time. We have not one moment to lose. Go! Train hard. No smoking. Lights out, 9 o'clock. All we can leave to Nepal! Cancelled!
We leave for Washington and London tonight! I shall be traveling first class!
Okay, folks, we're back. This might be the last section of the movement third. I'm still wondering whether or not to put up with the whanger. Whanger, do you want to call in? The whanger wants to call in, I'll let the whanger call in, though. You know, but on the other hand, you know, there's not going to be, I'm not going to put up with a whole hour of tardivity. Okay? The whanger. In any case, folks, you know, with Karina Burt, it's pretty well become an obvious Anglo-Mestizos who essentially uses lots of steroids, who thinks only of herself, who was giving away her NSM shit to this nigger, Daryl Lamont Jenkins, and who's become an obvious anti-racist activist here. Now, has she changed? The answer is I don't think she changed. I think she is what she used to be. Oh, by the way, folks, I'm going to be booted off in about 3 minutes. This is the first beep. The first beep of, 2 hours. I get 2 hours, and then just shy 2 hours, it beeps once, and then it beeps a second time. And then it'll beep a third time, and then it'll beep a fourth time. So, folks, I'm going to hang up and call in again, and we'll pretty well finish the last section of the movement third. I think I'm only going to do, what? Oh, about 2 hours tonight. So, we'll be back. Hold on. Okay, folks, I'm unmuted. Anyway, I'm, the whanger says he's going to go ahead and call in. I don't know. Why not? But I look at these people, and, you know, Mike the Kike Delaney, an obvious thieving Jew. He went ahead and took in some other Jew, and then he went ahead and betrayed the Jew. And then you have this Truth Militia, another obvious Jew outfit that showed up about, what, 4 or 5 months ago, and is already running around and censoring people about what it's not going to allow to be discussed here. We're not going to allow anybody to talk about Mike Delaney. Okay, don't. But it's going to be talked about. You got to understand that much, okay? Well, let's see. If you're a decent troll, you should get paid. Well, yes, but usually around here, you only get paid in lead here if you get caught. In any case, where was I? You have these people, and they cut off all criticism. You don't know exactly who they are. And all they have is just like this, you know, Andre the Nigger. You know, screaming about Jews, 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 Jews here. Hell, you end up having Newskite go ahead and sort of scream about Jews every so often. And folks, these Jews have figured out a long time ago is that you're going to end up having these people screaming about Jews. So therefore, what better than to get a Jew involved in screaming Jew? What better than to have Eli James scream Jew, 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 Jew? Not actually teach any dual seed line Christian identity, but holler Jew. What can not be better than to have a Jew-like think claim to be a Christian identity scholar calling, well, white people like me Jews here? I mean, I have to laugh here. This one Victor Switzer, he got down on Trash Can Man for being admitted perhaps 1/16th, you know, teepee crawler. And here is either his grandfather or great-grandfather being a full-blooded Choctaw Indian. And Brian Real finding that out. And the character knew he was a manager all the time, but he's calling me a Jew. Because my mother's maiden name was Samuelson. And there is a famous Jew named Samuelson. But, you know, the vast majority of Samuelsons were Swedes here. It derives from Swander Svensson. And, you know, this guy knew that. I was showing where my great-grandfather Charles came from, you know, his homestead in South Dakota. Now, folks, back at that time, Jews weren't allowed to run wild, but heck, most of them were, what, in New York, running around in their tenements, and a few other places. They were not on the plains of South Dakota, you know, raising hogs and eating them. You know, I mean, you know, in any case, you have these characters, and they censor criticism. They censor inquiry. They will not show their name or their face. Now, my time in the movement, I have shown, well, most of the pictures that you see of me are pictures that I myself have released. And some of them are less than flattering. But you usually see a blue-eyed man, blue-gray-eyed man. You know, you see sundry pictures of me taken from my webpage. I've taken pictures of myself and Roxy. I don't pretend that Roxy is wonderfully thin and svelte. You have seen pictures of me, and you have read my papers that I have decided to post. And, you know, there's nothing in me that is, you know, hidden. In any case, folks, let me see. It looks like the whanger is in. Let me go ahead and see. Well, Whanger is in. We'll go ahead and take a quick break, and then I'll let the Whanger on. Andre the Nigger of total fascism here. Total fucktarnation, you mean. Okay, Whanger, you're Paul Whanger, you're on the air. Are you going to pretend to be Harold Covington tonight?
Hello, son. Hello, I'm your mother. I'm Mama Lindsay.
You don't sound like her.
I'm Mama. Did you remember when I used to wash your house? When I used to clean your body when you're 2 years old?
This is not a conversation that's going to last more than 2 minutes maximum, Whanger. Maybe it's about time. Let's see. Let's not pretend to be Hell Covington. Let's not pretend to be my mother. Why don't you go ahead and just, you know, be the Whanger tonight? How's that?
All right. Sounds good.
Okay. I could not really stand to see Axis Sally's, 30-minute video that she posted. I mean, I just really couldn't stand to see it. You know what I mean? I guess you could say it's because of cognitive dissonance here. She used to be Axis Sally, and I hear the same voice coming from, you know, I mean, to me, she's looking more and more like an Anglo Mestizo all the time. And, you know, essentially, I really don't wish to watch some self-absorbed skank, you know, going through 30 minutes of whatever the hell it was here. You know, it's easier to listen to her than it is to look at her. You know what I mean? So I've listened to her, you know, her two April Gady, I've listened to her previous podcasts, I've listened to her talk about April Gady, and maximum 15 minutes April Gady, the rest of the time, 45, 55 minutes, is about her. You know what I mean? And, you know, I don't think she's changed, I think she's always been what she's been, and I cannot at all see why Covington was stupid enough to bring her in. You understand what I'm saying?
Right. Well, I heard Covington is being held up by the FBI now because of the bionic bomber in Seattle. You know,
Why is he held up with the bionic backpack or whatever in Seattle? What does he have to do with any of it?
Well, you know, Harold was his five Northwest novels was basically telling people to start this war, and part of this war is bombing, time bombing the system. So I know Harold is kind of indirectly responsible for the bionic bomber.
Oh, I don't see that. Sort of like Pierce, but like Pierce, Covington runs away from the implications of what he writes. You know what I mean? He says it's fiction. It's just simply a literary device. It's this or that. I mean, just like Pierce, he does have deniability. I mean, you know, I can write a novel about this or that, and essentially you can't hold me responsible if some tards go ahead and follow it here. You can't go ahead and blame video games or graphic novels or non-graphic novels or whatever. And to be honest with you, you know, I had heard about the time of this, I've heard pretty well from some of my people, you know, and essentially when it first started in is that a lot of people blame Craig Cobb for it. You know what I mean? Even on VNNF here, somebody did this in Spokane, and Craig Cobb is in Wyoming. You know, where is Craig Cobb now? And essentially, I heard that Craig Cobb may have had something, you know, more to do with it than Harold Covington did. Now, here's Axis Sally claiming, you know, I mean, you listen to a podcast. She claims that essentially some of these tards that she was with sort of knew that this Keith Harfum would do something, you know what I mean, not what, but something. And from what I guess, she was investigated by the FBI, is what I was hearing about the time that this shit, you know, went down. But a lot of people thought that, you know, Craig Cobb had something to do with it. And, you know, I mean, and Craig Cobb and April Gady, why, you know, I don't know if they're fuck buddies or not, although Scuttlebutt says that they are. I mean, what, you know, April Gady didn't really talk that much about, Corina Burt did not talk that much about April Gady. You know what I mean? And there isn't too much difference between their, quote, morals, you know, even though April Gady did for free what you couldn't pay me to do. You had a lot of these people essentially running around and wanting to be part of it, and then when people go to jail, nobody wants to be part of it, and they all disappear here. And I don't think Harold Covington is in any way responsible for what some tard does in Spokane, or allegedly does in Spokane. You know what I mean?
I'm not too sure about that. You know, a couple of weeks ago, on the February 14th podcast of Radio Funeral West, you know, Harold mentioned that if Chris Dorner can go against the system, then any white man in the Northwest can go against the system as well. It seems like,
well, that's true. Isn't that true? Isn't that true? I mean, if you have one nigger causing such a commotion here, what if you ended up having, just like the Order did in the mid-80s, you had quite a commotion, you know, when the order was running wild in the mid, you know, in the early mid-80s. Remember? Well, you may have been, you know, that may have been before your time.
They'll get caught in the end, so it doesn't make a difference even if they do try doing something like that.
Yes, but you act, and I'm looking at your big long post over on Axis Skanks, and essentially you have the notion that this situation can continue as it is, with essentially not dire or not, you know, not bad consequences. The reason that your parents moved to this country, I was looking on the news tonight, and here is this Gukas whose parents were, quote, intellectuals, they were college graduates. They had a hard time during Mao's, you know, what, cultural revolution, to where they had to actually live, you know, in this building which they were, you know, made to clean or something like that. And she was nothing more than just a manual worker, and somehow she managed to get to Britain. And then she got an education. She worked for Goldman Sachs, and now she's coming back and redesigning buildings in Beijing or whatever. And the answer is that it's just sort of like beaners and niggers in Haiti or gooks in China. None of your kind can create much of a world on your own. You have to come to the white man's world in order to, well, essentially get a fresh start or to get a chance at your own society.
I disagree, because, you know, if you look at China or even India in the past 20 years, they've been developing at a really fast rate, and by the middle of the century, both the GDP of both India and China will be bigger than that of the U.S. So both China and India are going to become developed industrialized nations by 2050.
Well, and let me just say that let me go ahead and bring some facts to you. They were talking about all these buildings that they've made in China, which, because the white man no longer has the money to make or market, you know, that now these Chinese factory workers no longer have jobs, that the Chinese are pretty well polluted the rest here. I agree that because the white people Essentially have had their money and their property and their assets looted by all these dirty Jews, and essentially you have these beaners pouring in looking for jobs, and they don't have jobs for white people. I mean, essentially, yes, I do believe that the GDP of the United States will drop. In fact, last quarter it did drop. But essentially, I'm saying that on your own, that you creatures are not able to make much of a civilization, certainly not a white man's civilization, for yourselves.
Well, I mean that's not really true. If you look at how the world was 1,000 years ago, for example, 25% of the world's GDP was an output of India. You know, 1,000 years ago, the West was in the Dark Ages, and the civilizations like the Indian or the Chinese civilization were in full flourish. So to say that non-white are not capable of creating civilization is patently false.
Well, I don't know about patently false here. It's not a civilization in which I would care to live in, and really, your complaint seems to be a Chinese civilization is not a civilization that you would want to live in either.
Well, I know, actually, that's not what I said. 1,000 years ago, I would have to live in.
We're not here 1,000 years ago to a mythical age here to where you can go ahead and explain is that things were wonderful in Chinkland here and they were dreadful around 1,000 A.D. in the Western world. I mean, we are talking about what is now and what is to come. And
but it's a cycle, and it's happening again. You know, the West is a young upstart, and China and India are the ancient powers, and the West upstarts kind of put down the ancient powers, but now the ancient powers are reaching up, and they're putting the young upstart down. If you get
well, I mean, no, it's not that China and India are putting us down. It's that essentially the Uyghurs have allowed the Jews to run wild, and now it's called capitalism as opposed to, say, National Socialism. Essentially, capitalism is a belief that essentially the production ought to go to those who furnish the capital, and since the Jews are the ones who furnish, quote, money, and they call it capital, that the Jews should go ahead and get rich off the white man's efforts here. And that essentially, the Jews have made the white people, less and less and less prosperous here. I'm just simply pointing out is that your own, I guess, parents or grandparents were not able to really make it well in China. So they came to this country and they did better than they could in their own country. I'm saying.
That's one way of looking at it.
Well, yes, that's pretty well my way of looking at it here. That's really, I think, what should be the white nationalist way of looking at it. I mean, we cannot be a white country when essentially we are, about 35% of the I really think, for all practical purposes, pure whites are, when I first started this show, I thought there was, 170 million Uyghurs and 120 million Mamzers. Now I think it's the exact opposite. I think it's 120 million Uyghurs and 170 million Mamzers or 180 million Mamzers. I think the white people, real white people, are the minority in this country. And as time goes on, we will become essentially a minority that will be persecuted more and more and more. Now, if I was to write a novel, it would be probably far bloodier and far more ruthless and far more cruel than anything that Harold Covington has written. I mean, he sort of believes in making peace with the local pigs. I believe in skinning them all out and their spawn. I believe, really, when it comes down to it, is a Uyghur versus Uyghur intra-racial war. And then once we've gone ahead and exterminated all the Uyghurs and their, you know, essentially the families and everything else here, that essentially we'll have a free hand to deal with the Jews, the niggers, the gooks, the beaners, and the rest here. So, I mean, essentially, I'd probably be far more, quote, cruel than Harold Covington would be. And yet we're having this conversation.
You know, you say that, but in the end, you know, if you look at the reality, not the fiction books, not fantasy, but reality, the reality is that, you know, every year, you know, you have non-whites coming into America.
Mm-hmm.
And they're coming in, and they're breeding with whites, and they're really taking over. So
why are they coming to this country for?
They're coming here because the whites are too weak to say no to them.
Okay, so in short, if someone like me is saying no to them, then everything's going to be wonderful and well?
Well, yeah, but you're a minority among the whites, right?
Oh, very much so. My point is that they're coming into this country because their kind has made a real shithole of their own countries, and essentially what they are is they're just simply wandering parasites. So therefore, since there's some truth to that,
and I'm not going to disagree with that, but you know, you have to also blame imperialism for that. You know, with the British went to Hong Kong, the British went to India, and you know, and they stole a lot of natural resources. And again, I don't blame the British for that because you know, might is right. That's the one law of the universe.
Well, then, if you're not going to blame the British for it, why the hell should you blame American figures for that, you know, who didn't have anything to do with what the British Empire did? I mean...
This goes back to this one universal law. That one universal law is that might is right. You know, the strongest wins. And, you know, and that law, it doesn't discriminate, you know. It's impartial. So in the past, when there was imperialism, the British Empire was stronger, so they subdued the Indians, they subdued the Chinese, they subdued the blacks, you know, they subdued the South Americans, and, you know, the whites were winning, and, you know, good for them. But now the opposite is true. You know, you find that if you look at the law, might is right. The non-whites are becoming stronger because they can come into the white country. Even the whites are not doing anything about it, you know.
Well, it sounds to me. Okay, let me interrupt you and say it's not a matter so much of whites being or non-whites being strong, it's of Uyghurs being so stupid and weak. And essentially, if you exterminate these stupid Uyghurs who essentially think that they are moral in giving away that which does not belong to them to the non-whites, you exterminate, you essentially enslave or kill or skin alive or whatever, you deal with the Uyghurs who are creating this mess along with the Jews. It seems to me that once we have once people, men like me, have a free hand to essentially exterminate beaners and niggers and gooks and dotheads and whatever, essentially that will be the way that things will be, you know, solved here.
Right, but the problem is that the Namjers, the non-whites, they're trained for time, you know, because they breed like cockroaches, like rats, you know, and
mm-hmm.
you know, soon enough, that the Namjers will heavily outnumber any...
That is true, but once they're able to go ahead and just breed, you know, just like cockroaches here, well, hey, there's probably more rats and cockroaches than there are white human beings, but white human beings have developed traps and poisons to go ahead and keep them under control. And it's because of Uyghurs that we cannot go ahead and simply use the weapons that we have now or develop new biological weapons to deal with the matter.
You know, but I think you underestimate the Chinese and the Indians. You know, China and India at the moment have a big nuclear arsenal. They have a large army, you know, and the
mm-hmm.
Chinese and Indians who are in the U.S., they're
mm-hmm.
too smart to be exterminated like rats and cockroaches.
Well, I don't know. I mean, pretty well, if you went ahead and unleashed a biological weapon here, you know, I was in the, I was in the Army and the essentially the tactical nuclear weapons fire direction control. And what really scared the heck out of the little generals from the Corps and the colonels and all this wasn't so much even the nuclear weapons or even the chemical weapons. You can essentially learn, you can go ahead and learn, although it slows down warfare quite a bit, it really goes ahead and kills, the chemical weapons slows down, pretty well kills the civilian population that don't have training or gear to go ahead and go against it. It slows down warfare because essentially if you're in a MOP level 4, you can't really do a lot of exertion here, but you can. It does slow down mechanized warfare, chemical weapons. Nuclear weapons with their blast here can go ahead and take out a couple miles, and it can go ahead and cause radiation depending on where it lands. But what really scared them was biological weapons. And in any case, someone like me.
The biological weapons, but for example, the Mamzers, the non-whites, biologically speaking, are the same species as the true whites. So whatever biological weapon you engineer, are going to kill the whites as well. And how can you selectively?
Once things go on, pretty well my particular religion, a dual seed like Christianity, which has the Great Tribulation, we don't have too much cause or too much, mercy or too much concern for 90% of the Uyghurs and none for you Mamzers and none for the Jews here. So essentially we believe that the Great Tribulation will pretty well clear most of the earth, and that Jesus Christ will do the mopping up in Genesis chapter 19. So, military theory for someone like myself here usually follows, pretty well is in line with religious theory and practice.
Okay, but no, let's say that, you're wrong and there is no Jehovah, there will be no Great Tribulation. You mm-hmm. agree that if there is no Great Tribulation, then...
Let me ask a question here. If 90% of the Uyghurs and all the Mamzers and Jews get killed, does it really matter whether or not I call it Great Tribulation or a Uyghur calls it Great Collapse or you call it the Great Die-Off, even though you're dead? Does it really matter what the hell you call it? Whatever happens.
Okay. So you're saying that I understand what you're saying, but let's take away the religious aspect. If you take away the religious aspect, how do you think, or even if you bring in the religious aspect, how do you think Yahweh is going to realistically kill off 90% of the Uyghurs and Mamzers?
Well, if we're going to bring in the religious aspect, pretty well, whether or not you agree, I certainly believe that Yahweh can do anything.
Okay, but let's take away the religious aspect. How do you kill 90% of the Uyghurs and 100% of the Mamzers?
Okay, well, let me ask a question here. I told a little joke about the days of prop-driven passenger airlines here about the pilot who goes ahead and it's a five engine prop driven plane, and pretty well he says is that one of the engines has gone out here, and essentially I've had to compensate by putting in less pressure on the other on the engine on the other wing. We're going to be a half hour, an hour late here. And then what happens, about another half hour goes by, and he says, we lost another engine. Okay, and we're going to be an hour or two late. And then it goes by, and they lose more and more engines here. And since I guess they're down to the engine, which is in the, center of the plane. And this little boy tells his mother, at the rate we're going to be here all day. Do you understand the meaning of this joke?
No, not really. Could you...
Let's say what happens, you're going to be late if one, or, you know, you're going to be late and more late if one engine goes out, you're going to be late. We're going to be more and more late here as more engines go, you know, no longer work. But eventually, you're not going to be up in the air all day if all five engines go out. Do you understand that?
Right, that's true.
So, if you end up having a total social, financial, economic collapse to where essentially it's sort of like, I'm looking at The Walking Dead on AMC, and essentially you end up having a zombie quicker apocalypse, you're not going to have, I guess, happy motoring and, you know, all this other wonderful stuff going on, are you?
No.
There's going to be a race war. There's going to be a war of each against all. In some cases, I think it's mainly going to end up being a racial war because people will look to essentially, you know, fight alongside those who look and act a good deal like them against those, you know, for dwindling supplies, for dwindling means of living. There is going to be conflict here. Once the carrying capacity of the system here is gone here. Essentially, the carrying capacity of Zog Babylon is declining. There's fewer and fewer whites, and there's more and more of you muds and mamsers. And essentially, we're not going to get along forever. And like I keep on pointing out, all this stuff can be solved. Simply, you know, I mean, I believe there's no political problem that cannot be solved by, well, essentially, killing 10 or 20 or 30 or 100 million problem people. I believe that when, you know, and Covington has pretty well said the same thing in his podcast here. Him and I agree on a good deal of things here. Of course, we disagree on some things as well. But,
okay, that makes... You know, I agree with what you're saying, but, you know, as each year goes on, you know, the number of Mamsers go up, and the number of Riggers who are marrying Mamsers go up. So,
yeah,
already,
yeah,
20% of whites are,
sure,
in a relationship,
sure,
with the non-white.
Sure. I mean, it, you know, sort of like these, revolutions, these Arab Spring 2 years ago, it was pretty well caused by the fact that the price of the grain that Egypt and Tunisia and all these other places doubled, and essentially these countries were not able to pay for it, so they had to cut back, and this hunger caused an unrest here, because guess what? The dictatorship wasn't managing things. Now they no longer have Mubarak, and they're finding out that so-called authoritarian democracy isn't able to fix things either. And so you're going to have more and more and more unrest here. You're going to have less and less carrying capacity. And you seem to act that essentially you can go ahead and destroy white America by all these Mamsers coming in, and that somehow this particular, remember the joke about the air, you know, about the airplane being up all day as more and more engines go south, and eventually there is no more engine. You're not going to be up there all day. This society is not going to last forever. You go ahead and, you know, in a bottle of beer that you make here, when you're brewing it, or in a loaf of bread, the yeast goes ahead and grows and grows and grows, and it creates carbon dioxide. It creates alcohol in some cases. And essentially, those toxins build up. You know, I mean, from what I gather, you can't brew anything naturally more than about 8% alcohol. You understand what I'm saying? Because the alcohol is a toxin, you know, made by these bacteria. And eventually, they run out of food, and there's so many toxins that they all die out. You understand what I'm saying? and
I,
you act like people, especially mud people, can overcome nature, and that's not the case at all.
You know, your analogy of the engines, I agree with them. I think that can happen. My answer to that is, by the time the system collapses, the non-whites and the white lace mixers will outnumber the true whites, heavily outnumber, and there'll be nothing to true whites.
No,
they'll be heavily outnumbered.
I am agreeing with you, Wanger. I'm pretty well, haven't I pretty well essentially admitted that as far as the pure whites, they're in the ratio of, what, 120 million or less to 180 million? You know, I'm not even putting forth the fiction that that Zog is 60% white and 40% Mamzer. I'm pretty well telling you that I believe that Zog is what, about a third, maybe 40% white, more or less, and 60% Mamzer now. I mean, I'm agreeing with you, Wanger. You know what I mean? And it seems to me that you're agreeing with me as well. You're essentially saying is that it don't. But now you're going ahead and simply pointing out is that it doesn't really matter when the great collapse comes. If essentially there's nothing but essentially niggers and gooks and chinks, and only maybe 10% whites living. I mean, both myself and Harold Covington are saying that if we have conditions of peace, your vision is 100% correct, and therefore we must change it.
So you're saying that, if you agree with me that, if the whites don't unify and do something now, then...
No, I'm not talking about unity. In fact, I'm the last person to talk about unity. My particular show is about avoiding unity, because essentially when you have unity, you eventually end up having unity under Jews, like Eli James and Bill Fink and the rest of them. I mean, I talk against unity. I think that essentially the Great Tribulation, that collapse of civil war and killing, will go ahead and be, essentially the thing that destroys Zog Babylon, the third and final, just as a whole bunch of flood water in the Karen Basin flushed out Zog Babylon the first.
So, let's say the system does collapse and there's a great tribulation. A lot of Mamzers and white race mixers will die. But why will the true whites also not die? You get what I'm saying? Why do they survive?
No, the answer is that it's just, I was previously talking about the, I know you probably don't believe in the story of Exodus, but if you go ahead and look, the Israelites had to endure, even in the land of Goshen, part of the first three or four plagues as well. And yes, you will end up having when I go ahead and re-engineer my show, I always play Wigger problem. I believe we got a Wigger problem. Essentially, I blame Wiggers for what this country has become. Okay? Okay, folks, we had this Gook troll. He was on for about an hour, 45 minutes. He, pretty well asked about the same questions, and I keep on answering them. So I'm going to go ahead and break this long portion into two, maybe three sections. So we're going to have a music break, and we'll be back. Hail Victory. All right, folks, it's now time, since we have the Whanger on, to go ahead and play some Gook music. So up next are the Material Gookuses by Gook Donna. Nah, enough of that dog-eating shit.
Material Gookuses.
In Revelation chapter 24, verse 20 through 21, that there shall be a great tribulation such as never was seen before, nor shall be ever done again. And except that Jesus Christ return, no flesh should be saved. He's coming for the remnant. So, in my particular show, I'm talking mainly to the remnant. Now, I go ahead and give some entertainment to, you, although I don't consider you one of the remnant. I give a bunch of entertainment to some Nimbuster Tards sometimes here, but pretty much this show is aimed at the remnant. I'm telling them and people who may be associated or somehow may become part of the remnant to essentially understand that essentially our cultural and racial Stalingrad has been fought and lost. That essentially we are on the losing end, and that until essentially the entire social order, the entire Zog Babylon dies in its own stupidity, its own crapulence, whatever here, I'm agreeing with you is that it is so-called peace that is essentially going to do away with Yahweh's servant nation. The Adamic, Jacob Israelite white race here. That is that. Now, what do I recommend? Answer, I don't recommend I don't recommend forming a Northwest Army or anything like that. I recommend that simply you work on saving yourself here, pretty much, and call on Yahweh to help you out in saving your life here. So,
okay, so the part where we disagree is the religious part, because, I kind of agree with you that there could be, some kind of collapse of the system, where there's a lot of civil war and there's a lot of people who are killed. And I agree with you that a lot of, mamzers and the Uyghurs are going to be killed, but I also feel that a lot of true whites are going to be killed. And
well, yes, but hold on. I mean, 4 years ago, on February 27th, I went ahead and mentioned that, essentially the bogus charges against me had to be dismissed. Essentially my grandson refused to lie about me. All right. So essentially, if I had been convicted and then sent to prison and murdered, well, wouldn't that have been one white man who has been pretty well murdered by the system? And the answer is yes here. We are being, if you are white, if you are, Christian identity, you are essentially a white man, right now you are being targeted, you and your family are being targeted for death right now here. Essentially, I'm just simply calling on people to understand the situation, the reality of the situation right now, and to act accordingly. You somewhat get, essentially, whether or not, it's just like my situation with my brother. Pretty well, I let shit go for 4 years, hoping that it would get better. And it didn't get better. So, 2 weeks ago, I had to do something about it. I had to get off my ass, pretty well tell my sister, we can't let this shit go on any longer and end it. And take steps to end it. Now, I don't know if it's going to be ended, but I had to go ahead and get things done to end it. And essentially, if you're white, you don't have any, you don't have any choice here. There's not going to be any great movement, unified uprising of Yugoslav Babylon. Essentially, what we have is more and more chaos. And I'm simply saying, for those of us who are orderly, let the chaos proceed. Let the killing and let the death and the rest proceed. Your best bet is to get out from under it. And
the killing and the Great Tribulation, is that going to be restricted to the U.S., to North America, or is it going to happen all over the world?
I think it's going to happen. I think it's going to happen all over the world.
Let's say it happens and the remnant remains in the remnant of the true whites. What stops, say, India from nuking out the remnants, after the Great Tribulation? So I think you would have to have this, all the Mamzers and Uyghurs to be killed all over the world for the true whites to win.
But Swanger, you're making the belief that I, or those who believe like me, have any power to do any such thing. We're just simply saying is that when this collapse occurs, I believe it's going to collapse, it's going to occur all over, because you are going to have the end of essentially, cheap oil, cheap everything, cheap food. I mean, pretty well it'll be just like when the Roman Empire collapsed, but bloodier. You had in the case of Rome, you had about 2 million people, the biggest city of the classical era, and by its pretty well nadir in maybe 600 or 700 BC, you probably had about 12, 13, 14, 15 thousand. I mean, you went from having, 1,000 times as many people to having, 0.1% as many people. And especially when you have endemic systematic failure like that, you're going to have one hell of a die-off. But you cannot deal with wiggers by saying if you keep doing this stupid shit, it's going to be that way. Essentially, you can only let nature take its course. So, I mean, you know, there's nothing. There's no, you know, I mean, you bitching about to me doesn't really mean anything because I'm not the one. I'm not the one who is causing this to happen. I'm just simply telling a remnant, you know, how to go ahead and save your own life. And part of it, you know, involves staying away from the bowel movement. You know what I mean?
Well, my question to you is, you know, you say that, you know, 90% of the wiggers and nonsense are going to die. Well, my question to you is, why won't 90% of the true whites die as well?
When I'm talking about wiggers, I'm talking about people who are genetically white, who are genetically Adamite, who are genetically Israelite. When I'm talking about wiggers, I'm talking about my own, you know, thieving brother. I mean, I can't blame the Jew. Can I really blame the Jews directly here for him turning into being a thieving piece of shit? You know what I mean? And the answer is I can't. I mean, in many cases, he's pretty well set himself up to be my enemy. So I've gone ahead, and I hope to get my brother back. But on the other hand, I can't let him do whatever the hell he's doing. So, yes, I admit that essentially you can't do anything until there is a solving of the wigger problem. Essentially the solving of stupid wiggers who think that they are oh so wonderful when they allow all these here wonderful beaners to come into this country and the Somalian niggers and gooks and the rest here to come into it. Because essentially, they're not just giving away what belongs to them. They're giving away the stuff that does not belong to them, and they don't care. You have wiggers hating real white people because they serve evil. They serve the Jew. They serve Satan. And essentially, yes, I don't believe that anything can be done until 90% of the wiggers die in this great tribulation, and you cannot argue with them. You can only let nature take its course. Okay?
But if 90% of the leaders die, why don't 90% of the true whites die as well?
You don't understand. What is a wigger?
A wigger is a white man, and a true white is a white man too. So my question is, if 90% of the leaders die, why don't 90% of the true whites die as well?
What happens if things continue the way they are, 100% of the true whites, the true Israelites, you know, both mentally and physically will die.
Right, so that's my point. My point is that if this great tribulation happens, then yes, you know, a lot of wiggers and namzers will die, but it's not really going to help the true whites because a lot of true whites are going to die as well.
And the answer is that if you're a true white here, you do not worry. You understand that you take steps here to save yourself and to save your family. But when it comes down to it, it's all under Yahweh's hands here. So therefore, I guess you get to the religious aspect as well.
Right. So
you can't by arguing essentially divorce me from my belief in Yahweh. You understand what I'm saying?
Yep. So you're saying that when the great tribulation happens, Yahweh will protect the true Israelites.
Well, that's what Jesus Christ said. He said that except I should come, no flesh should be saved. So what I'm trying to do is make sure that there is a remnant for Jesus Christ to come back. And in many cases, I have compared myself as a shepherd to essentially culling, you know, the sick members of the Wigger herd here, who essentially are following after Finkelstein and Elier and these Jews and the rest here. A diseased animal should die. You know, I'm not going to go ahead. I'm more interested in saving the one healthy animal than the 99 diseased animals who need to die. And therefore, I do not get altogether upset when Eli James or Bill Fink or Brian Rio or Mike the Kike Delaney, I call them jukels, You know, sort of like jackals who eat sheep here, but they're jukals. They go ahead and eat diseased sheep here who should have known better, but who chose not to, or who didn't chose not to because they weren't whiter and because they were fucked up in the head irredeemably. I mean...
You agree, Martin, that if let's say there is no Yahweh, then the true whites will not win, right?
Well, that there's no Yahweh, it's just sort of like Harold Covington says, is that, you know, without Yahweh, I think that, you know, just like Jesus Christ said, if he doesn't return, there, you know, no flesh would be saved. I mean, Jesus Christ has already told you that except he return. So essentially, Jesus Christ has already said, if there is no God, essentially, there's not going to be any servant nation that's going to be saved. You know what I mean? There's not going to be, there might very well be gooks, niggers, and whatever. What Harold Covington says is that, shoot, if we don't have a white Northwest Republic in 100 years, they're not going to be whites. So essentially, the niggers and beaners will be living like rats, you know, a lesser population of rats before the chinks go ahead and, you know, skin them all out here. So maybe if you go ahead and thin up or something like that, you could be a viceroy of whatever remains here, Wanger. You know what I mean? According to Covington.
Sure, that's true.
All right?
Yeah.
I mean, Jesus Christ has already said in Matthew chapter 24, 20-21, what would happen if there was no Jesus Christ or no Yahweh. I mean, essentially, there's not going to be any Yahweh servant nation either. See, that's why I don't worry too very awfully much about, you know, the end of the white race or the end of Yahweh servant nation, because I do believe in Yahweh. I do believe that we are, you know, that some of us are Yahweh servant nation, you know, but that most of them are Whiggers, and I don't really, you know, give a flying fuck for Whiggers, okay?
Okay, no, that's understood. But if you look at the two racial groups in America that have a higher median income, lower unemployment, and a lower proportional use of welfare than whites, it's Indian Americans and Chinese Americans.
I'll agree. That essentially these aliens, you know, sort of like, you know, if you want to go ahead and agree, what you mainly see on the side of southern roads is kudzu. I'll go ahead and agree with that too here. Kudzu does better in America than the native grasses do. Okay? I mean, we can go ahead and agree that gooks and dotheads, you know, dothead, quote, Americans, you know, do better just like kudzu does. Okay? We're both agreed with that, all right?
Okay.
But that does not mean that your kind belongs in a white country. Any more than kudzu does. All right?
Okay, that makes sense. But, you know, I mean, you agree that, there's only one law in the universe, and that's the law of survival, right? Mike is right. You know, the strong person can even make their wrongs look like their rights, if that makes sense, Martin.
Okay, I mean, to be honest with you, one of my favorite authors, Lothar Stoddard, he wrote a book, and, you know, people, including the intelligent Michael Crichton, was foaming at the mouth. I don't think they actually read the book. It was called A Rising Tide of Color Against White World Supremacy. White World Supremacy. Do you know what the book was about?
What was it about?
It was about, in many cases, lots of starters saying that the white man should have left the Indian and the Chinese populations alone because they were hard working, that they were sort of like ants, and they would go ahead and overcome. Essentially, if they were allowed in a white man's land, they would be an army of sort of like robots or what have you who would go ahead and take over, you know, take over the white world here. Adolf Hitler said, if the white man does not get the Jew monkey off their back, the Chinese would win. And last week, or this week, whatever you want to call it, or maybe last week, I don't know, Hill Cunningham says that Confucius, you know, Confucius says that the whole world was destined to be Chinese here. I will admit the Chinese can have their own civil, can create their own civilization, that they can, but they've never really been an imperialistic people. Most of the time they had to deal with barbarian incursions, an average of once every 15 or 20 years, once every generation, and play the barbarians off against each other. Essentially, they have not, you know, they have set their own civilization. Now, I don't, you know, to me, religiously, I think that they're the beast of the field, that they are, you should, you know, I mean, generally, you look at their intelligence, their standard deviation is what? Oh, about 8 points as opposed to the white man's 15 and the nigger's what? 20 or so? I mean, as a result here, you have more homogeneity among the gooks and the orientals than you do among the whites here. But among the whites, you have far more, you have far more geniuses, you have far more retards at the same time, and you have a bigger diversity here. And, I mean, the way it has been here is that it's been, certainly since the 1500s. We're not even talking about 1,000 years. We're talking about, what, 500 years since the Renaissance, and we are coming to the end of what that can be because we've been sickened with liberalism and with Jewism and the rest here to where essentially we no longer have, as white people, the will to maintain what we have been given. And you can see that. You can see that in a number of places here. I mean, I pay attention to the news here. Essentially, everyone is talking about America's decline. And some of them begin to talk about Zog Babylon's fall. Okay?
Right. Now, you see that, you know, the Chinese and the Indians are not imperialistic people. But if you look at the American population, 3% is Chinese, 2% is Indian. So they're already colonizing, a white land.
And I agree with you. I agree with you. But, you know, it's when we come to the ultimate conclusion of what's going to end up happening here. You sort of take the position as like a bacterium. Essentially, you can grow and grow and grow and supplant the, essentially, the white populations that all will end up well, and it's not.
But you see, Yahweh has given, so this is my version, and it's different from yours, but let me state it here. You know, Yahweh has given the chosen Israelites, which are, you know, the Indians and Chinese, the gift of reproductivity, the gift of fertility, so they can make lots of children, whereas, you know, whites are not, you know, they can't really make lots of children, so they're dying out.
Now they are here. Back in what, 1830, when essentially the Mexicans invited these white people into a wilderness populated only by savages. They brought in the, essentially what became the Texans. You know, pretty well the white people then outnumbered essentially soon the beaners, and then they went ahead and took Texas away from Mexico along with New Mexico, Arizona, and California, remember?
Yep.
So essentially, if it was a matter, I don't talk about changing Uyghurs into being Klansmen or into being racist or being Christian identity. I mean, I don't think that it's going to be happen like that. I think the solution is going to be an altogether collapse, and whether you want to call it the Great Collapse or the Great Die-Off, or I care to call it the Great Tribulation, it doesn't really matter. You understand what I'm saying?
Right. That's true. But if you look at the reality today, for example, the guy who's in charge of the Access Alley website,
uh-huh.
Reg,
Yeah, he's a dothead and eggnog, you know, what of it?
Right, and he's very successful. You know, he's actually paying for that website himself. He owns a successful
Well, how much, you know, how much does it cost? How much do you think it costs for me to run Mamsers.org, you know, Mamsers.org and WhiteNationalist.org. WhiteNationalist.org is our crisis host, so it's $55. $55 a year. And essentially, let me see. I think it's $7.99. What's 7 times 12 offhand? I forget here. What? It's about $70 or $80. So essentially, it costs me, what, about $150 a year to run my particular web pages. And I could load it up with a lot of stuff here. I mean, and I could if I wanted to. You know what I mean? Access Sally is done. Essentially, is that now you end up having a bunch of skinhead ass clowns who want some pussy off of Access Sally. You have you writing big old posts. You have Reggie the Nignog writing a few posts, and you have Access Sally essentially admiring your own pussy. I mean, that's about it. I mean, you know, pretty well the last shows was essentially supposedly talk about April Gady. There was about maybe 25% April Gady, about 75% or more, you know, Access Sally. And yes, I sort of blame Covington for bringing in what was obviously somebody who was not loyal, was maybe not even white, you know, and essentially, you know, letting some selfish skank, you know, essentially screw him up here. Now, as long as she doesn't go ahead and out, you know, the actual names and addresses of some people, and she says she hasn't, well then, essentially, you know, Covington has taken a hit because, you know, white, you know, the young white men that he needs to grow his organization are going to say, well, shoot, he really fucked up here. I don't want my name, you know, released or anything like that. So he has really screwed himself by going ahead and bringing that bitch in. You know what I mean? But, you know, I mean, right? Would you say that this Access Sally shit is an embarrassment?
I would say it's a huge embarrassment. It's a huge, huge blow for Harold Covington.
Well, it's I don't know about huge blow. It's somewhat of a blow. I don't know about huge. You know what I mean?
Well, I mean, you know, considering that Harold is 60 and, you know, he has a lot of health problems, mm-hmm. He doesn't have much time to rectify the error. Mm-hmm. But you know, what I'd like to really talk about is the Indian Americans, you know, which you refer to, in a derogatory manner as godheads.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Indian Americans are now about 4 million, there's about 4 million Indian American citizens in America, about 1%, and their median income is higher than any other race in this nation.
Okay. Well, we've already covered how Kudzu.
No, I'd like to finish this so you can answer this question properly. Now, this 4 million are primarily the upper crust. You know, there's the physicians, the engineers, the researchers, the politicians. For example, the governor of Louisiana and the governor of South Carolina are both dotheads. I don't know if you knew that.
Oh, I do that.
That's the truth.
I do that. I mean, it just simply illustrates to me the depths of Whigger degeneration. You know, do you really think I would vote? Do you really think that I would vote for fucking dothead?
Right, you didn't, but they still won.
Okay, they still won. I mean, you know, in my case, I'm not even allowed to run for state or federal and even local government, you know, as in the sheriff, because I'm a quote white supremacist, which means that essentially white people, I mean, for all this whining and pissing and moaning about niggers not being allowed to, you know, vote or something like that, essentially what boils down to is that white people are not allowed to have any representation And the point I have is that since we're not allowed to have representation, we have no moral or even legal obligation to pay federal, state, or local taxes or obey federal, state, or local officials. And essentially, I do whatever I can to create a civil war to where essentially this matter will be settled by killing. As far as these doctors, I've seen a bunch of them at the Full State Nut House. A lot of them were fucking dotheads. They were not particularly smart. Essentially, what it's boiled down to is that an actual white doctor is a rarity. You've always had plenty of Jews, but now you have hardly any white doctors looking after white people.
You can argue that both the Chinese and Indians don't have as many geniuses, or even their IQ may not be as high as the whites, but I think one quality that both the Chinese and the Indians have is that they work hard. And I think that you mentioned...
And that's why in many cases, since they work harder than Uyghurs, they are, they are a menace here, just like kudzu is to grass about the south here. You know what I mean? Should kudzu have been brought into this country? No, but there, I mean, it's sort of like Japanese chestnut trees. You know, it used to be the American forest in the east was 1/3 chestnut trees, and then later on, because it didn't give big enough nuts here, somebody imported chestnuts from Japan and China, and as a result, it created a deadly fungus, which the Chinese and Japanese, chestnut plants were immune to, but it went ahead and destroyed about 1/3 of the eastern forest. And every so often, you will have these big old roots, they'll sprout, and then they will die of the blight. And they are working to rebuild the American chestnut tree. Remember, under the village chestnut tree, under the, village chestnut tree, the village smithy stands, the smith is mighty, man is he, with arms like iron bands, what have you here. You know what I mean? And, so you no longer have American chestnuts, except in the ground beyond the, all these immigrants and all these invasive species are not good. And they should not, it was because of stupidity that they were allowed to come in. And essentially this stupidity might very well, if left to itself, be fatal. It is going to be fatal. That's why the only solution is civil war, is a racial war, is a class war, is essentially Civil War II or the Great Tribulation, the Great Collapse, or whatever. That's the only solution. Okay, folks, we had this Gook Troll. He was on for about 1 hour 45 minutes. He, pretty well asked about the same questions, and I keep on answering them. So I'm going to go ahead and break this long portion into 2, maybe 3 sections. So we're going to have a music break, and we'll be back. Hail Victory. This is the world of Command Dork McFag. A dirty tubal can I tube or man's a fag. The sex of men's are after war. It's for a wife, it's a whore. Or so says the brag of McFag. On the asses of them kikes is McFag. The pixie's tongue's ass to mouth, it's a wag. With this pecker in his hand, it can come on any man. Or so says the brag of McFag. Sucking and jubus and biting McFag is all is true. Yapping and crapping and cutting and voices, McFag is a Jew. Doping and yapping with pecker and flapping and stinking to Timbuktu. Though shit does happen, McFag will keep yapping. McCandirk McFag comes through. This is the world of Commandirk McFag. A double tubal can I tube or man's a fag. He sucks of man's galore. It's for wife, is a whore. Or so says the brag of McFag. This is the world of Commandirk McFag. A dirty tubal can I tube or man's a fag. McFaggle do anything if the brain says it's a king? Or so says the brag of McFag.
But let me use myself as an example. You know, now, you know, as you know, my dad is a Chinese American, and my mom is an Indian American, you know, Asian Indian American.
Okay.
And both of them are physicians, and combined, their income is about $650,000 a year.
How much?
$650,000 a
year. Yeah, that's a lot longer. I mean, I'm living on about, what, $10,000-$12,000 a year?
Right, and you know, because of Muppet money comes power, so in Missoula we have a lot of say. Now, wouldn't you say that because of the money and power that my family has, Yahweh has made us the chosen one?
Well, you know, I mean, if you want to go ahead and argue that ridiculous proposition, that's fine with me. I mean, I think you just come up and dug it out of your 400-pound goop-dot-head ass here. I mean, I don't think when you called in you were going to make the point is that you are blessed by Yahweh and I am not. Is that what you wish to claim now?
Well, I mean, the more and more I think about it, you know, it seems like that's the case because, you know, you see this Asian-Americans, whether it's Indian or Chinese, who are doing really well, and, you know, you can't really do anything without the blessing of Yahweh. So why are they doing really well? I mean, that's a question that, you know, people from Christian identity need to look at and consider.
Well, I don't, you know, I mean, let me consider. Is the whanger, being a gook dot head, is he really the chosen one of Yahweh? Dee, 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 dee. Okay, how much did you bet? I bet 0.6666 shekels. The answer is to, what is, fuck no. Okay? Alright, well, I've considered it here. We actually went through Jeopardy over it here. Do you like the answer here? The answer is fuck, what is fuck no? Okay? Have I answered your question? Huh? I even went ahead and hummed, you know, or sang the part about Jeopardy here, you know what I mean? You have seen Jeopardy, right?
Right, I have seen Jeopardy.
Okay. Well, do you think it was followed with proper Trebekian notion here or whatever? Right?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So the answer is, what is fuck no? Okay? You know, any other answer, it would have been a mighty stupid fucking question here. Okay. Anything else?
Well, okay, so I understand your point, but, you know, I feel like if you go away from the religious aspect and you look at the reality and you look at which group is making the most amount of money, is the most educated, has the lowest proportional means of welfare...
And we are, you know, I mean, haven't I compared your kind to Kudzu? Is Kudzu successful? And the answer is, yeah, I'd say it's successful. But, you know, is it what should happen? The answer is, no, it shouldn't happen. You know, I mean, to be honest with you, your kind should have never been allowed in this country. So what are we going to do? What?
Like, for example, the British should have never been allowed to Hong Kong or India. But they were there.
They were there. At the very end, now, you go ahead and look at lots of Sars books, you have Pakis and all sorts inside what used to be the home island of the British Empire, and now the British people, I mean the real ones, essentially are pretty well sucking hind tit here. You know, because they're treasonous politicians here. I mean, they probably need a Whigger cleansing here, you know, even more than American Zoglings do. You know what I mean?
Don't you think that's the revenge of Yahweh? Because of the earlier British colonization of Hong Kong?
Why would it be the revenge of Yahweh? I mean, I have these people, you know, some of my friends, and they bemoan that Robert E. Lee did most everything correct and that Adolf Hitler did most everything correct, and still Germany and the Confederate States lost the war. And I explained to them that was Yahweh's intention that the North should win, that the Jews should win in World War II, so we would bring to the situation we are in today. So things are the way they were meant to be today. It doesn't matter if Adolf Hitler had done everything 100% correct. He was destined to lose. It didn't matter if Robert E. Lee did everything correct, and he didn't. But it didn't matter. He was destined to lose. And just as we are destined to head in the situation we are in today. Now, in this particular show, you know, I make no apologies for explaining things from a dual seed line Christian identity, you know, perspective. Because that's what I'm getting at. And so I don't...
Let's look at it realistically.
Wanger, will you admit that, you know, probably I have answered your questions? You know, I mean, I haven't agreed with you, but in many cases I've agreed with your facts, but it's the interpretation thereof where we differ, correct?
Right, but you've answered my question except for one of them. And then one question is, you know, if you look at the population, the worldwide population,
mm-hmm.
8% is white and 92% is non-white. And even that 8% contains a lot of rigors.
It contains a lot of mamzers, and then of the ones who are white here, most of them are wiggers. I will agree with you 100%. All right?
So how do you expect this really small minority, a small white minority, to beat out the huge non-white majority and all the wiggers as well?
Okay, you want me to answer that?
When you're in the army, you know how it works.
Mm-hmm, I was in the army, I know how it works. You want the answer? I do not expect the remnant by themselves to form any, you know, Northwest Front or anything else here, which will go ahead and seize military victory. What I am counting on is by the fact of this collapse, this worldwide collapse, this great tribulation, of essentially killing 90% of the Whiggers, the pureblood Whiggers, almost all the Mamzers, and all the Jews. I expect that, quote, victory will come through the remnant surviving when Jesus Christ returns. And
right.
I'm going to make.
My daddy to come in and keep and do it for you.
Huh? No, I'm, you know, pretty well.
You believe on your sky daddy to come in and do the work for you.
Okay. Let me ask a question here.
Right. Go ahead.
In the first Zog Babylon, which was destroyed, you know, on the Tarim Basin here, were the sinning, miscegenating Whiggers and the Gooks and the demons and the giants, were they drowned directly by Yahweh having an angel pinch its nose? Or did they die as a result of, well, the fact that they couldn't swim forever? What did they drown by? What was their main cause of death?
So I would say it doesn't matter.
No, it does matter. I'm asking a question here. What was their cause of death? Was it because Yahweh personally delegated an angel to squeeze their, you know, to pinch off their nose, or did they die from water inhalation?
Well, I mean, I'm not a religious person.
Well, I mean, the answer, you should be able to answer regardless where you have, I would think that essentially a believer in the physical and a non-believer in Yahweh would say they died of water inhalation, correct?
Right.
Okay. So anyway, let's say a Whigger, a Nigger, a Gook, a Beaner, whatever, they all go ahead and they all die in the Great Tribulation of starvation, or essentially by bullet or rope or wood chipper or rabid rat or zombie or whatever, they all go ahead and die. You know, pretty well 90% of the Uyghurs and all the most all the Mamzers and all the Jews, they all die here. Now, if you want to go ahead, if you want to go ahead and attribute your cause of death to essentially a total economic, financial, ecological collapse here, and I wish to go ahead and attribute to Yahweh and I'm surviving, who is right?
I guess you both could be right.
Okay. Well, ain't that nice? It's nice that we have so much agreement.
Right. But
so the answer, I'm saying that under the current situation, you are believing that the current situation will go on forever, and at the very end there will be no more, there'll be no more whites. It'll be sort of like India. You'll have a few little Brahims at the last, and they'll still be Mamzers, but they'll sort of be lighter-colored Mamzers, and essentially that's going to end up being the end of the, quote, white world, although some of the, probably the ones who rule, they'll be a little bit lighter color tan, and they'll call themselves white, just like Brian Rio does. And if you want to go ahead and believe that that's going to happen, well, that's fine. You know what I mean? I mean, Harold Covington is claiming that if the Northwest Front doesn't do something about it, that's going to happen. I'm claiming that essentially the Great Tribulation doesn't do something about it, and Yahweh pretty well saved the remnant, that's going to happen. I mean, and you're saying that neither the Northwest Front or, Yahweh will do something about it, so that's going to happen. So essentially we're all pretty well agreed about what's going on now, aren't we?
Right. No, we do agree, but I guess the main reason why I disagree with you is if you take away Yahweh and you just blame it on the economic collapse, I think that, the true whites are going to be equally affected as much as the Uyghurs and Mamzers. So it's not going to be the whites who are going to come out on top in the end.
It's going to be the non-whites that come out on the end, come on top on the end.
No, I don't think anyone is going to come out on top. I think they're all going to have a lot of casualties, but in the end, it's going to remain the same as it is now. A multi-nation.
Well, let's get back to this little story about the passenger plane. So when the last engine burns out, essentially the plane's going to be up there all day, right? Okay, well, I don't think that's going to happen here. I sort of see crash and burn here, you know what I mean? More like crash and burn here. You understand what I'm saying?
I mean, I understand what you're saying, but I think, on the other hand, you have to also keep in mind that India and China are rapidly growing every year. So even if this Great Tribulation happens, I think the India and China will prevent the true whites from killing out too many of the Indian or Chinese Americans.
Say again?
Well, so, even though the Great Tribulation might happen, we have to keep in mind that India and China are growing economically every year, and they're growing militarily every year as well. So even if the Great Tribulation happens and, the true whites are killing off, the Indian and Chinese Americans, the India and Chinese army will stop the remnant from doing any damage.
Well, you do realize that more and more people, be it in India or China, you end up having an ecological collapse here. It doesn't really matter if there's no America to buy grain from. Where are they going to buy the food? Or are they going to go ahead and do like they have done and eat each other?
Well, come on now. I think that's
if there's a great famine, Wanger, I mean, essentially you're going to go down from being 400 pounds to being, you'll probably have a whole bunch of folds here, you know what I mean? What you ought to do here is, have you ever watched Fight Club?
Yes, I have.
I like that movie. Jews hated that movie because essentially it was about nihilistic Quakers and Anglo mestizos here. I sort of like the talk about where they go ahead and steal this liposuction fat here and turn it into, supposedly into salt, but mainly it turned into nitroglycerin. And they go ahead and essentially bomb, you know, use their fat asses to go ahead and bomb the places that they profited from here. And supposedly blew up all these buildings in Seattle or whatever here, and they're playing this Kurt Cobain horse shit at the very end of it here. And I thought it was hilarious here. So, I mean, heck, you know, the worst comes to worst here. If you know some science or something like that, maybe you can, have one of your parents go ahead and liposuction you, and you'll have the makings for some really good nitroglycerin, wouldn't you?
But my parents are not plastic surgeons, but you have a good point. I think one of the people in the chat room said that I'm going in circles, and so maybe I don't want
to. Well, that you are. But oh, what the hell? I mean, at least this was, I think it was an amusing conversation. Just because we don't agree don't mean it can't be amusing anyway. Right?
Right, no, that's true. It has been amusing. And I think, I'm glad you agree that at the moment,
in many cases, haven't I agreed with a number of things you have said here? And then in many cases, I have not agreed, but at least you can go ahead and follow my logic after a fashion, correct?
Right, I'm glad that, I can follow your logic, so I do appreciate that. I think compared to, say, Logan Hunter, you're a lot more reasonable. I think you have the right attitude towards life, because people like Logan Hunter, they don't like it when someone states an opinion that's contrary to their own. They get really angry and upset. And they put down the phone. But you, on the other hand, you stay strong to your convictions, and yet you're open to hear other people's opinions. And I think
I'm open to hear it. I'm not necessarily going to agree with it.
And you don't have to agree, but you're strong enough and you're patient enough to listen to the other person's opinion without getting upset.
I've heard variations of what you're saying quite a bit before here. I think that, liberal wiggers, they live in their own freaking dream world. They make assumptions that, that don't have anything to do with reality. And in many cases, I've been a rather successful troll over on Finkelschinese and the Liars and a number of other places. So usually I know how to go ahead and get them all mad or annoyed here by telling an inconvenient truth here. But the thing about it is, what I like about Logan is that he actually believes what he's supposed to believe. You know what I mean? In many cases, he may not have thought it out as much as I have, or he doesn't have the patience when exposed to a different idea. But essentially, what I like about Logan is that he is zealous. He believes what he is supposed to believe. He's a true believer. And some people may say, "Well, he's not." Sometimes he acts, impatient. Sometimes he acts, angry. He sometimes does this or sometimes he does that. And the answer is that I never have to worry about Logan's loyalty. I never have to worry about that Logan will instinctively and zealously follow that which is right. Okay?
That's true. I think I can respect Logan for that. I think in the end, you saw Access Sally with that black guy in the video. What did you think about that?
I didn't know if it was a black guy. I thought it was some sort of Guinea or something. Like, to be honest with you, I really couldn't stand listening to more than about 30 seconds. I didn't get more than 30 seconds. I mean, I go ahead and see, hear somebody that I associated with being a racial patriot, and essentially I go ahead and see it coming from essentially some steroid freak mamzerus. It gets to where it's sort of, it makes me wince to see that bitch. So essentially, I'll be honest with you, I really didn't watch more than 30, if there's a nigger in it, I wouldn't be surprised. Why go ahead and look at something that's not going to accomplish anything, I don't really view, to be honest with you, I don't even view Access Sally as a traitor. I view her essentially as a Anglo-mestizo, self-absorbed, lying skank. I mean, about a week or two ago, she claimed that I was a convicted child molester, and I'm not. I mean, she's repeating the same shit that Jeremy Visser lies about and Alex Linder lies about. And to be honest with you, I'm not too surprised, what was being locked up in that house, that, that beaners and Anglo-mestizos and even some bad wiggers do go ahead and molest their children or their nieces or their nephews or whatever. I mean, that's, I don't expect anything better, from an animal. I mean, if you go ahead, you cage up, you go ahead and put a heifer, in the same, in the same paddock as her father, the bull, they'll go ahead and usually have a too big calf, and it'll cause essentially a death of that calf, and sometimes, for a fresh, heifer as well. It's not good, but you don't expect animals to act different here. So, I mean,
how can you call a wigger an animal when a wigger is?
I don't think Axelli is white, to be honest with you.
But if you look at her genealogy, and you can.
I don't know what her genealogy is. I don't really.
She can give you her genealogy, but she's 100% white.
Well, I mean, she's not 100% white, but in any case, if she is a wigger race traitor, that's even worse here. I'm inclined to give her the benefit of the doubt that she doesn't know any better and isn't able to learn any better. I mean, she's taken to where she does not allow me to post as Martin Lindstedt. I've had to post as Dick Relton a couple times. And in many cases, it's, that pathetic little thing that she does here. I mean, essentially, it's just pretty well degenerated into a few Anglo-mestizos and wiggers who want to go ahead and get some of her aging pussy, gollywog Nignog, it's just turned into the Goo-Boo Crew, and a few characters who want some Anglo-mestizo pussy. You know what I mean? And as a result here, I mean, shoot. Now, I haven't learned really much about April Gady. I mean, essentially, it's just simply somebody who's self-absorbed in themselves, going on and talking three-quarters of the time about themselves. And essentially, it's an embarrassment for L. Covington, but he's going to have to go ahead and get over it. He fucked up. He's going to have to go ahead and deal with the consequences of it. You know what I mean? And that's about it. It's not really a format where open and free debate are allowed or encouraged. I mean, essentially, Access Sally is just some lying Anglo-mestizo skank who, goes ahead and justifies what she does. She hasn't changed. She always was what she was here, and I get a little bit annoyed at Covington for not seeing that. All right?
No, I agree with you. And I think we had a good conversation. Thank you for having me, and thank you for for letting me voice my opinions without getting angry. You know, like I said, for, you know, despite Logan's loyalty, I don't think I could have had such a frank conversation with Logan or even Harold. I'm pretty sure even Harold would have blown his load.
He probably, you wouldn't have, I mean, it's not like you're going to get on Radio Free Northwest here. I mean, I had a problem with Harold Covington, during Hill of the Ravens here, you know, because he said a number of things that pretty well annoyed me and a bunch of Christian identity believers, and then he had a bunch of retards who went ahead and made it even worse. And, Covington doesn't want to admit that he uses sock puppets. You know, he does. And what was hilarious is that he went ahead and banned me from his group here, and then went ahead and signed up a Martin Lindstedt who just simply said, George of the Jungle here, you know, who had a homoerotic, you know, love for, you know, George of the Jungle here. And, you know, that, I mean, he has fun with me here. But what happens is that when my grandkids were taken away, he already came up with a distant thunder, and I forgave him for Hill of the Ravens. And, pretty well 9 days on March 9th of 2009, I decided to make peace with Harold Covington. So as a result, in order to maintain that peace, I do not get on his blogs, I do not get on his forums, I may be a member, I don't simply post because I don't wish to fight with Harold's tards. You know what I mean?
Right, yeah, okay? I agree, yeah.
And essentially that's the best way, is that you maintain some distance here. I mean, Covington is one of my allies, and I've done my best to be loyal to Covington, and occasionally, if he has a question here, he wants my opinion, I'll give it to him, and he can either accept it or not. I mean, you know, I don't agree 100%, you know, but I don't disagree. I don't have a problem with people, you know, poor young people who live in New Jersey, if there's any of them left here, or Florida, or Texas, or California, or Arizona, or New Mexico moving to the Northwest. I mean, you know, if they don't have a pot to piss in where they're at now they can go ahead and move to the Northwest and not have a pot to piss in. They probably can find a job. And, you know, I don't have a problem. I mean, or Andy Donner, he lived in Kansas City. And essentially, I gave him a glowing review. I said, no, Harold, this is the kind of people you want in your organization. And I wasn't, I was annoyed that he moved out of Kansas City. You know what I mean? I mean, I get along just fine with Andy here. You know what I mean? Covington would have done a lot better, essentially, if he'd have, had more Andy and less of Axis Sally. And essentially just had, if you needed some pussy to go ahead and read, just simply have Gretchen the librarian just read what, don't call her Gretchen. Essentially have her read Harold's scripts. You know what I mean? He'd have done a lot better with Gretchen the librarian. You know, just simply reading the scripts for free. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then emailing it in.
And I agree, and I think that's the reason why Harold considers me to be his greatest enemy, because, what Axis Sally did, that was more Harold's fault than Axis Sally, because Harold made the mistake of taking her in. But me, well, he knows I'm his enemy, so he's not going to take me in. And yet,
I'm sure he's just quaking in fear that there's a 400-some-pound gook in Missoula, Montana, going ahead and, if he goes ahead and writes the sixth Northwest novel here, chances are, Whanger, you're a dead man. You're a dead man for here. You know what I mean? You're a dead man in book number six of the Northwest, Septilogy or something like that here. You know what I mean? You're dead meat, Whanger. You're dead meat. Anyway, I'm going to go ahead and this is just going to be a 2-hour program. Now it's going to be about a 3.5-hour program. Thanks to you, Whanger, okay?
All right. Thank you for having me.
All right. Hail victory. Bye-bye. In any case, folks, hell. Yeah. Well, that was interesting here. I don't know if any real meetings of mine came up, but he did get his questions answered, and with a sort of Jeopardy format, no less. So, folks, I'm going to go ahead and I think I'm going to go ahead and call it a night. I'm going to go ahead and say, hell, victory. I mean, folks, this is just bowel movement bullshit. I mean, the bowel movement will continue regardless of what I say or do. And essentially, I think we've had our entertainment and our education for this episode of the Movement Turn. So, folks, I'm going to go ahead and say, hail victory. May Yahweh bless. Good night. Oh, by the way, I might comment as Dick Reltney on the Axis Sally site here, but she pretty well censors me as Pastor Martin Lindstedt. So you might go ahead and tell Axis Sally here, you know, that we've had this conversation. So anyway, like I said, hail victory and good night.
White men clad in black are we, aye, aye, oh, and we'll stamp out the tyranny, aye, aye, oh. White men go, we vote ho, on the city roof, let the red cock crow. White men go, civil war ho, on the courthouse lawns, let red blood flow. When Adam delved and Eve defend, Kyrie, oh, who was then the ruling man? Kyrie, white men go, we vote ho, on the city roof, let the red cock crow. White men go, civil war ho, on the courthouse lawns, let red blood flow. For white men their rifles shoot, the Jews are laid low. On Sogling next we stomp our boots to stamp out Gasco. White men go, we vote ho, on the city roof, let the red cock crow. White men go, civil war ho, on the courthouse lawns, let red blood flow. The regime must only love is great, aye, aye, oh, the love of God our only need, aye, aye, oh. White men go, we vote ho, on the city roof, let the red cock crow. White men go, civil war ho, on the courthouse lawns, let red blood flow. We'll conquer for our cause is right, aye, aye, oh, ho. Our sons won't have to go and fight, aye, aye, oh, ho. White men go, we vote ho, on the city roof, let the red cock crow. White men go, civil war ho, on the courthouse lawns, let red blood flow.